playing together or playing against each other, and I just had no idea. And then when I saw he committed to Fort Scott, I was like, a couple of my friends knew him, and that's where I figured out and put two and two together that we've been playing against each other our whole lives.
For a long time.
Yes, sir.
Very cool. And what is the experience like at Fort Scott? Because, you know, I've learned a lot about it since this summer, trying to learn about you guys, the Greyhounds. You know, what is that program like? And, you know, obviously you're there to play some ball.
Yes, sir. It's basically just baseball and school. That's all there is to do there. If you love the outdoors, it's a place for you to go. But I got to shout out my coach, John Hill. He's hard to play for, but you end up loving the guy, and it's a fun place to play.
Well, I know when Rick Bassetti is putting this team together, he talks to those coaches, and he finds out what they want out of you this summer, and they wanted you to learn a life other than the one behind the dish. It's the hardest thing to do for a catcher to learn. Other people don't understand, you know, when you're a catcher, you're the heart and soul of a game. It's different in the outfield, and you have all the tools, but you worked hard at it this summer.
Yes, sir. I feel like I've gotten a lot better in the outfield. It's coming a lot easier, because when I first got here, I think the first game of the year, I missed the first pop fly I got. And ever since then, I just looked at it as a stepping stone and just keep going up from there and just trying to do the best I can out there and see what happens from there.
And, you know, part of the grind is while you had an ankle injury that limited you in college, and now then you get here and you dive for a ball, and, you know, you had a jammed wrist there for a while, and I know that takes a while to get over, but you want to get your cuts in.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's like you don't really want to take any time off. And are you frustrated at all that you haven't really been 100% this summer?
For the most part, it's pretty frustrating because I want to be out here to help the team win. And when you're in the dugout, you're just like, wow, like, I wish I was out there giving it my all to help the team and helping myself get better. And, I mean, we live and learn, and I guess I just have to learn from it and just enjoy sitting back when I have to.
Well, you've been in the lineup. I think you're in the lineup tonight. I think you're back in the outfield in right field tonight, I believe, if you haven't seen the lineup card. That's what I was told. Does that sound right?
I'm not going to be playing tonight.
Oh, you're not playing tonight?
No,
tell me why.
I'm not playing tonight because during BP, I ended up hurting my wrist again.
Again, jammed
it
up. So scratch on that lineup. I haven't announced the lineups yet, so that's a scoop. That's bad news. I'm back, but you'll be back hopefully tomorrow. Get some ice on it and be back out there this next month. It's less than a month now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to accomplish? I'm guessing you want to string some good games together with the bat going out.
Oh yeah, for sure. I just want to get more consistent with the bat because I've been a little stringy and off and on, because some games I go 3 for 4 and then there's other games I go 0 for 4 with 4 Ks, and I just want to limit the Ks and put more balls in play, and that's the most you can do from there.
There have been some pretty inspiring guys on this team, guys like Tyler Thompson, his story. I know you probably made some friends this summer. Tell me about some of the other guys on this team that you've gotten to know. You can't mention them all, but, you know, there have been some great stories here.
Well, for the most part, Andy and Tyler have been my biggest role models in the outfield, because any question I ask them, they're always there for me, and they always tell me what to do. And at the beginning of the year, and still up to this day, Tyler still directs me in the outfield and puts me in the right spot to make the plays. And anytime I'm in the right field, Andy's always right by my side in BP, telling me if I'm making a good step or good reads to the ball. And just like, no matter what, Tyler will always be there for you, and he's just a really good guy. You can ask him for anything, and he'll be there for you.
Well, that's part of the experience, being a part of any team, and I hope it's been a great one for you this summer. Looking for a big finish for you. Rest it tonight, get healthy, get back in that lineup, and we'll enjoy following you moving forward.
Yes, sir. I'm excited to see this game tonight. Hopefully we pull out a dub.
All right. Well, one last thing. I do understand that your family is able to listen in. I know we occasionally see remarks on Facebook, too. Anything you want to say to them back in Texas?
I just want to say I love all y'all, and yeah, I'm lost.
That's
I don't
pretty
know
good.
What else to say.
He's without words on that. I think he's just glad you're able to keep up with him. Thanks again, Jacob.
Thank you.
Take care of the wrist. All right, we'll
yes,
be back
sir.
With the lineups. We got a little secret. Machuca's not in it, unfortunately, tonight. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The McConnell Foundation is pleased to sponsor this year's Colt 45 season. We support hometown baseball in South City Park, part of the heart of Reading. Families, local businesses, and nonprofits make this community event successful. The McConnell Foundation believes the best way to build community is to support it together. Baseball is for everyone, from little leaguers to senior games. Thank you for rooting for our home team. Go Colt 45s!
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah! Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Looking for a home loan? Omega Mortgage Group built its reputation on providing low rates and outstanding customer service. We've worked hard to lower our costs so we can pass those savings on to you. There's a reason so many real estate agents, escrow officers, and other industry professionals refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com and find out for yourself. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Yes, they're playing the audio from the moon landing 50 years ago today, playing it over the loudspeaker. I remember sitting with my family in front of that little TV on our blue shag carpet there in Tucker, Georgia. We were from the Midwest, but had moved down to Georgia and watching that. And that moment changed pretty much as everybody's life. And they're playing some of that on the loudspeaker tonight as the Colt 45s get set to take on the Northwest Star Nighthawks out of Portland. We've been calling them the Portland Stars, but I guess that's more officially their Northwest Star Nighthawks. Let's give you the starting lineups for the Nighthawks. Jack Fletcher back in center field. Brooks Dyer is at second base. Case Ogata is the designated hitter. Cole Posey is at shortstop. Taylor Burcham over at first base tonight. Hitting sixth is Connor Schaefer. He's their third baseman. Carson Doyle in left. It's Luke Farah behind home plate. And Jeremy Martin, the Jeremy Martin out in right field batting ninth. Chayton Whitwright will be on the mound for them. On the mound for the Colt 45s, Eamon Velarde. Velarde comes into the game with a two-win, three-loss record. He pretty much would have been considered the ace of the staff until he went to Hawaii, missed a couple of weeks, and he struggled a little bit to regain his form since that time. But his last start was more Velarde-like. He went five innings. Although he gave up nine hits and five earned runs, those nine hits were at least a half a dozen of them were infield hits. Five earned runs, two strikeouts, and three walks in that contest. So he's on the hill tonight, the big right-hander, and he's set to get things started off. We'll take a look at the defensive alignment in the field in just a moment. But Jack Fletcher, who was 3-for-6 with three runs batted in last night, takes the first pitch over for a strike. Fletcher, right-handed batter out of Clark College. Facing Velarde from Feather River College by way of Wairika. That pitch is over for a strike, 1-1. big right-hander, 6'5", 210 pounds. He might be a little more than 210. I'll have to check with Eamon on that. As his seventh start of the summer, he's pitched exclusively from a starting spot in the rotation. That one was over for a strike as well. And a 6.03 earned run average, which has gone up a little bit in those last three starts. Swung on, fouled out of play. Fastball, slider, changeup. Occasionally he'll throw a slur, but that's pretty much the fastball, slider, changeup. Left field, 320 down the line, 310 down the line in right, 406 to dead center. The flags on the corner of Cypress and Grape. Of course, tonight is the third game of a four-game set between these two teams. Power rallies, 358 in left center, 370 in right center field. So 2-2 count now coming to Jack Fletcher. Fletcher, the little right-handed batter. They have him listed at 5'11", 175, probably a little bit more like 5'9", maybe. Who am I? I'm not a pediatrician, nor am I a doctor. I don't know what being a child doctor would have to do with it, but I don't think he's 5'11". Anyway, that one's 3-2. Missed a little bit up. And here's the pitch from Velarde. High chopper to the mound. Eamon fields it. Makes the easy throw. That's out number one. So here is your defensive alignment for the Colt 45 tonight and some major changes, and changes we haven't seen, and they're really due to injury. You heard that Jacob Machuca, our pregame interview, I found out in the middle of the interview that he banged up that wrist a little bit, so he is not in the lineup tonight. Over at first base tonight is Chris Brew. At second, Connor McCoy. At shortstop, Brendan Roop. Over at third is Julian Kodama. Here's Brooks Dyer, the second baseman. First pitch to him is over for a strike. Out in the outfield is where the changes are. Now, Kyle Schrodel has played out there quite a bit. He did earlier in the season. He's out in left to start things off. Andy Baena's natural position of center field tonight because Tyler Thompson also being bothered. I believe it's a right wrist injury. So he's a scratch from the lineup tonight, available, I guess, as an emergency. But Baena starting in center field. And out in right field tonight is Tanner Tweet. That one fouled back to the screen. A ball and two strikes to the right-handed hitting Brooks Dyer. Dyer was 2-for-4 last night with two runs batted in. He hit one of a couple of home runs in the game. For the Nighthawks, that one's high and tight, 2-2. Dyer hit one, Cobb hit one. Edwards for the Colt 45s, Peyton Edwards, who will be the DH tonight. And hit third, I believe. This one swung on, missed. He got him with the breaking ball. Strike three. Chase Ogata now, the designated hitter. He's played first base the last couple of nights, I believe. He was over there last night. Stocky right-handed batter. Ogata, 6'1", 230. One of several players with Boise State ties on this team. Boise State baseball. Right-handed hitter. First pitch from Velarde. Swung on, foul back. Now the Colt 45s are wearing the gold vests tonight. That's the white cap, black bill, gold vest with dark sleeves, black sleeves, and the white home pants. The visitors wearing the black jerseys with white trim and white numerals, and gray bottoms. And they wear a black hat. This one hit sharply towards third, bit foul. 0-2. Now Velarde hides the ball well over the summer. His big guy's grown a pretty solid beard. And at Feather River College, they're hoping to turn him into a starter this year. Give him an opportunity to set himself up for a four-year school, which is the job of summer collegiate baseball programs. 0-2 pitch. That one tried to get him to go up the ladder. He didn't. 1-2. Ogata was 0-for-2 last night with the run scored. He had a sacrifice fly and a run batted in, 0-for-4 the previous night. So he's looking for his first hit against the Colt 45s. Not going to get it there as he swings and misses way out in front on the changeup. 1-2-3, top of the first. That's the way we like it. Colt 45s and the Northwest Nighthawks out of Portland. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back. Bob on the first at Tiger Field. Colt 45's coming to bat for the first time. No score in the game against the Northwest Nighthawks. Portland Stars is what we have them out on the roster, but I guess they've kind of changed their name and not intentionally trying to confuse anybody. They're sending a left-hander out on the hill tonight, Chayton Whitwright. Whitwright out of Clark Community College. We'll get you some numbers on him in a minute, but first let's look at the Colt 45's batting order. Andy Bayana back at the top of the order now with Thompson out tonight. Don't know if he'll be back tomorrow or not, but hopefully so. Kodama is hitting second in the playing third base. In the three-hole tonight, Peyton Edwards, who came back from his knee injury, has been working on it and stepped into the DH role and hit a home run last night. Had a couple of hits, in fact. Tanner Tweed is out in right field. He'll bat cleanup. Brendan Roop, the shortstop, hitting fifth tonight. Chris Brew in the sixth spot. Kyle Strodel out in left, hits seventh. Nick Horsley, the catcher, batting eighth. And Connor McCoy at second base, batting ninth. So Andy Bayena comes to the plate. Been pretty consistent this year for the Colt 45s. He's hitting 301. One homer, 23 runs batted in, second on the team in several categories, including walks. Has an on-base percentage of 456. Shows bunt in the first pitch. Nothing doing. So defensively, for the Nighthawks, Burcham's at first, Dyer at second, Posey back at shortstop tonight. Schaefer is over at third. Doyle at in left field, Fletcher in center. Jeremy Martin in right field tonight, Luke Farah the catcher, and Chayton Whitwright, the left-handed pitcher. That one, pretty good fastball, swung on and missed, and 0-2 the count. Whitwright has appeared as a position player against the Colt 45s, but obviously the first look at him as a pitcher. Swung on, popped up left side. Doyle takes a couple of steps to his right, and finally makes the catch. He was a little bit leery on it for a minute, but was able to pull it in, no problem. That brings up Julian Kodama, who extended his season-long hitting streak, for him anyway, to 18 games last night. He has hit in every game he's played for the Colt 45s. He has hit safely. Kodama batting 370. No homers, 12 runs batted in. Left-handed batter, Seattle University. That one fouled back, out of play. First pitch, 0-1 the count. Whitwright, left-handers, a little bit of the sun shadow starting to creep over the field. So the left-handed pitcher, this one's over for a strike, 0-2. Is beginning to streak across the field. Most of the field still in the sun. Home plate is in the shadow. Now, Whitwright is pitching his sixth game, his second start for them. He's 2-0 this summer with a 2.38 earned run average. So he's pitched well in summer ball for them this year. Now he has a 1-2 pitch missed to Kodama. The left-hander awaits. Fastball swung on, looped left side, fair foul, just goes foul. Our umpires tonight, behind home plate, Blake Ayers. Out in the bases, Thomas Hutler. I believe, is that Thomas? Is that Thomas or Jimmy? Jimmy Richards. I'll double check that. I believe it is Hutler. left-hander, the nice big wind, brings his leg up high, knocked back up the middle. He knocks it down, but Kadama moves well, and he beats it out. An infield hit. That is now 19 straight games that Kadama has reached on a hit. That brings up Peyton Edwards, who rejoined the club after missing a couple of weeks, in fact, with the knee ligament strains. I was going to double check and see when he played his last game before the injury. And don't believe he's played in the month of July, to be honest. He's had a couple of games where he had to sit out. No, he did play at the end of June, of course. First pitch to him, misses. It's a ball. He's a right-handed hitter. Announced yesterday he's going to be going to play college baseball at Cal State Monterey Bay for the Otters. It's a program that's already, in about 10 years or so, they've already had seven or eight guys sign professional contracts or be drafted. So it's a good place for him. This pitch swung on, blooped right side, but foul. A little bit more of a slide step for Whitwright out of the stretch. Looking to see when Edwards played his last game with the team. I think it was back on the 28th of June, before last night. So he's been working on that knee and strengthening the knee since then. He was able to step in as a DH last night. Two at-bats. He had an infield hit and a home run. So he's getting the chance tonight. But he had been hitting very well before that. It did a grand slam, I think, in a game just before the injury. So kind of came at a bad time. Peyton on the season hitting .255 this summer, but two homers, 14 runs batted in. Good slugging percentage of .456. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Fouled that one off. Runner was going. He went to Red Bluff High School and part of that great program. And Monterey recruited him out of high school, but he wanted to play every day. And they do have a habit down there. And a lot of four-year schools will ask a freshman to sit. So he wanted to get some at-bats instead. And so Peyton chose Shasta College. And he had a good season for them last year. Led the Knights in batting average and slugging percentage. He's 6 foot, 175 pounds. Next pitch was a ball. Now 2-2. Kadama has a good lead. I think he's going. Nope, he's not. Swung on. Popped right side. Coming over is Martin. He'll camp under it and make the catch in fair territory in shallow, mid-right field, out number two. So Kadama's at first still, and Tanner Tweet now comes to the plate. Tanner was 1-for-3 with an RBI last night. Hitting .256 on the summer, three homers, 11 runs batted in, and 23 games since joining the team. He's had a chance to finally get behind the plate, catch a couple of games last week. He's been needed in other places. Tonight he was needed out in the outfield, so he's out and right. Played first last night, coming off an injury to his hand. This one's hit high towards short, the shortstop behind second base. He'll make the catch for out number three. So a one-out hit goes to waste. They leave that man on base, and we'll go to the top of the second. Still no score. Colt 45s and the Portland Star Nighthawks. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Nice applause from the crowd. Just announced what we were going to talk about, what we will talk about. Sacramento Rivercats pitcher Connor Menez, who's the grandson of Bill Plummer. We've been telling you about his starts. Well, we thought he was going to start last night, and when he didn't start, we wondered if maybe they were holding him back for an opportunity to pitch at the big league level. They made some moves with their pitching staff, and indeed, Bill Plummer's grandson, Connor, is going to be making his major league debut tomorrow night. So that is great news. And Bill Plummer and his wife will be heading down to watch Bill's grandson pitch in San Francisco tomorrow night. So he's earned it. He had a couple of really strong starts his last couple of times out for the Rivercats. And so that's why he didn't pitch last night. Eamon Velarde starting things off, facing the number four hitter, Cole Posey, the shortstop. Now, Posey, right out of high school, he signed with a four-year school with Boise. Posey homered a couple of nights ago. He was 2-for-5 last night, so he's 3-for-9 against the Colt 45s, but he's shown some pretty good pop. 1-1 pitch. Velarde, that was his slider missed. 2-1. Well, Posey signed out of Georgetown, Texas. I think that's in the Austin area. So he will be playing this coming year at Boise State for the Broncos. Takes that one over for a strike, 2-2. So we got some Texas guys in these games here. Eamon Velarde is a Cali boy. That's a big curve. I think that was the slurve called strike three. So he has now whiffed three in a row, dating back to the first inning. Eamon appears to have all his pitches working, and the right-handed batting Taylor Burcham will come to the plate. Burcham, one of the players out of Clark College that plays with him, came in the game last night defensively. The previous game, he had played third base, 1-for-4 in that game, right-handed hitter. Lifts his leg up when he bats. He's kind of deep in the box, kind of just leans back, lifts that front foot up. See if he does it again. I'm not sure if that was his normal thing. Yeah, he picks it up and then steps in, takes that pitch over for a strike. Now, Velarde, early in the season, had the biggest strikeout game I think any pitcher's had for the Colt 45s. I think he whiffed 10 in one of them. Has not gone that deep into a game since. That was probably more pitches than his college coach wanted him to throw, but he was needed that day to go deep, and he did. That one's over for a strike, 1-2. Cole Posey struck out. Now Taylor Burcham fouls that one off. Velarde pretty much in shadow now, but the right field is still a sun field. The bright sun is streaking right on Connor McCoy at second, Chris Brew at first. They're all wearing their sunglasses. Velarde shakes off the pitch and now delivers the 1-2 to Burcham. Swung on and missed. He took something off of it. Four straight strikeouts. So Connor Schaefer will now come to the plate. Schaefer, the long-locked right-handed batter. Schaefer was 1-for-2 last night as their designated hitter. Got hit with a pitch, a couple of pitches, too. So I think he probably has a couple of welts. Tonight he is wearing a black sleeve on his right arm. I don't believe he had that last night. Must have gone to the store, or else he's just breaking out the new one. First pitch is over for a strike. Velarde's staying out in front on hitters. That's, of course, key to anybody. That one's a little low, 1-1. But it is a beautiful night at the ballpark. The flags are quiet out on the flagpole. He took a big cut at that one. I don't know what he was thinking. Didn't catch up to it. 1-2. Schaefer out of Clark College, and yes, indeed, he goes down on strikes. So Velarde strikes out the side. That's five straight strikeouts in the first two innings, and we go to the bottom of the second. Velarde's cruising, and the Colt 45's looking to get on the... You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Purpose-driven banking.
That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
And now back to more Colt 45 baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, we're scoreless, heading to the bottom of the second. Colt 45's had a game to forget yesterday. We haven't forgotten it, because it is history, but it was one that they would just as soon move past. They did not play well. They hurt themselves, four errors, and they had seven unearned runs in that contest, and just didn't have the composure that they had shown the previous night when Jacob Marquez took a no-hitter into the seventh in a pitcher's duel with pitcher's duel. The Colt 45s won Thursday night 4-1, but last night lost 11-4. So Eamon Velarde looking to stop that tonight. Brendan Roop stands in, takes the first pitch for a ball. Roop's been struggling, scuffling a little bit. His average down to 300, three homers, 31 runs batted in. There's a 2-0 count. Now we have a 2-1 pitch coming to the right-handed batter. Before this little slump, he really has been the most consistent hitter for the team, I think, this summer. 31 runs batted in, second on the club, second on the team in a bunch of categories. Also leads him in at-bats, hits, slugging percentage is good. Brendan takes a 3-1 pitch now, high and away, ball four. So he's on base, has good speed as well. He hasn't been called on to run as often as some guys. He has 10 stolen bases, third on the club in that category. So leadoff hitter is on with speed for Chris Brew. So the way this lineup is kind of staggered without Thompson, look, you know, he has some run producers down there with Brew and Roop. He's got Edwards up a little higher, so trying to get the table set for these guys. Now Chris Brew with a chance. And Chris has been struggling lately as well. 254. Still leads the team in homers and RBIs. Five homers, 35 runs batted in. Asks for time. Right-handed hitter out of Simpson University. Lefty from the stretch. Looks over at first. Roop, not a huge lead, but does have good speed. That one's bounced up there. He thinks about going, but hesitates. The catcher calls for time. Kyle Schrodel is on deck. Well, that one's over for a strike, 1-1 the count. So as mentioned, same two teams will go at it again tomorrow night. Beautiful night, though. Plenty of time to come out and enjoy baseball tonight. Tomorrow night is Little League night. So tomorrow night, the kids, youth baseball and softball, just come on out in your jersey and you get in free. Grown-ups, do not try that. We won't believe you. But tomorrow night's Little League, youth softball and baseball players, that's youth, wear your uniforms, you'll get in free. Make sure there's grown-ups with you. A ball and two strike to count. A little bit bigger lead. He's not going anywhere. Roop, or rather, Brew asks for time. The left-hander, Whitwright, is really taking his time. Shayton Whitwright. Now they're ready to go again. Man at first, nobody out, ball and two strikes to count. That one's bounced up there. This time, Root doesn't hesitate. Throw down to second, on the money, gets him. It did not get far enough away from the catcher, Luke Farah, so they were testing him there, and he handled, he passed that test. I believe that was the shortstop who made the tag, 2-6. So now the base is empty, one out, and Chip Whitwright goes back to the wind. The left-hander's pitch is bounced towards third. Schaefer fields, sails his throw well over the first baseman, who comes down on top of Brew, and they're going to send Brew over to first since it went into foul. It didn't just go into foul territory. It went out of bounds. Not out of bounds in baseball, but ground rule area. So Brew will go to second. That'll be an error on the third baseman. Kyle Schrodel now coming to the plate. Kyle looking to get the bat going, hitting 177. No homers, 11 RBIs. He's a guy who has taken on a lot of roles and shown a lot of moxie this summer. He and his brother out of Crown College, of course, U Prep High School. Looking in for the sign. The left-hander. Quit right. Now delivers from the stretch. He's all arms and legs when he's doing that. He doesn't have a big kick. He's slide-stepping, but he reaches back and kind of whirls with his glove in front of him. He's a 5'11". They have him listed at 165. Whitwright looks in. Now delivers. That one was up, but Schrodel wasn't biting. Now the pitch. They're kind of trying to keep him close at second. Brew's not going anywhere. That was a fastball, good one on the inside corner for a called strike. So Whitwright trying to find his stance at Clark, but apparently he must have finished a couple of years ago. He looks back. Now delivers. Chopped away foul. Eric Fasking able to scoop it up with his notepad, his scoring pad. Looking in for the sign, working much slower than some of their other pitchers. Chayton Whitwright looks to second. Now he takes a big kick that time and fouls it back. So he's alternating the slide step with the higher kick. He's figured out Brew's not going anywhere. A ball and two strikes now the count. Tonight in the third base club, it's Shasta School of Cosmetology. Family owned and serving the community since 1973. Shasta School of Cosmetology in the third base club pavilion tonight. Here comes a 1-2 pitch. That one's high, 2-2 to Schrodel. Nick Horsley on deck. Schrodel taking his time. Now Kyle's ready. Ready for a pitch. Close stance, right-handed batter. Wearing the long sleeves on both arms. That pitch away. 3-2 now to count. Looked as if they might have been thinking they were putting some kind of pickoff play on. Shortstop went racing over just as the pitcher went in motion. Which, if Schrodel can get around on, it means he had a huge hole on the left side. Posey out there at short. Now here comes a payoff pitch. Off-speed swung on and missed. He struck him out. That's the second out of the inning. And it brings up Nick Horsley.
Number 34, Nick
Nick was back in the lineup last night, 1-for-4. He has the average up to 128, but he'd really been struggling for a long time. In the last couple of weeks, he's shown a lot of signs of getting out of his first homers, a couple of extra base hits. Right-handed batter, Leverican, Utah. Here's the first pitch to him. Takes a good cut at it. Fouls it back out of play. Connor McCoy would hit next if Horsley can deliver. Nice crowd for a Saturday night. Good to see Jake Mangus. He's actually handling the public address tonight. No ball, one strike pitch. Ooh, got that one past him, 0-2. Good fastball. Horsley stands in 0-2, slightly open stance for the big right-handed batter. Choked up a little bit on the bat. And he gets a fastball, bounces it foul left side. For the Colt 45s, Justin Simonsma is over in the third base coach's box. Brett Miller at first. Brother Brad was out here today. Brett's twin brother Brad, former Colt 45. Of course, he had an emergency pitching assignment early in the season for them when they had were short of arms. But Brad was throwing batting practice today, the left-hander. Knowing the Colt 45s are going to be facing a lefty, he wanted to get a good left-handed arm. No ball, two strike pitch now coming to Horsley. Again, staying alive. That was an off speed. Fouls that one off third base side. Hope you enjoyed your Saturday wherever you are, out on the lake. Maybe you're listening from far away. You got a chance to go to the beach or something. Up here it was pretty warm. But a lot of folks figure out where to go and enjoy their holiday where they can stay cool in the rivers and streams and even the mountains. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Popped up. I got my net, but it's not going to be close. It's in foul territory, and the catch is made by the third baseman, Schaefer. I was ready. I had the net, but nothing doing. And that's out number three. So the Colt 45's got a hit. He's erased. There's an error. He is left on base. We will head down, head now, to the top of the third. No score. Colt 45s and the Northwest Star Nighthawks out of Portland. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on Freeform Radio, KCNR.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hey, North State sports fans, this is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Meet Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State, but around the world. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Scoreless top of the third. Damon Velarde has struck five consecutive batters now for the Colt 45s. And stands in. Still have some of that streaking light with some of that feet again that we had a little bit earlier. So not sure what's going on there. On the other end, there we go. Mother Nature, or just the gods of the mixer board, took care of us. So we're scoreless as we in the top of the third. Colt 45s have had a couple of hits, no hits for, let's do it officially, no runs, no hits, no errors for the Northwest Nighthawks. one error that, as we mentioned, 45s, no runs, one hit, no errors. They should actually have two hits. Did they not give Kodama a hit back in the first? I'll have to check that. I would be surprised because that was off that guy's glove. I don't think that he had a chance to make that play, but I'm not the one who makes the call. First pitch to the right-handed batting Carson Doyle is over for a strike. One of two Doyles on the team. Carson out of Benedictine. 6'2", 210-pounder, takes a cut at that one, strike three. So that's six straight strikeouts for Eamon Velarde, who's dealing now. Velarde, in his last start, we mentioned, showed signs of being his old self. They really need that old self tonight, and they've had it so far in the early going. Brings up Luke Farrell. He's their catcher tonight. Didn't play last night. He did play the first game in the series. First pitch is a ball, 1-0. He's a right-handed batter. He was 0-3 in the first game of the series. Checks his swing, a little bit low. They asked for help. No, I didn't think he went either, 2-0. Going to go back and check that first inning and see if they no, they gave Kodama a hit, so I'm not sure. In the second inning, the other hit should have been, let's see, Roop walked. No, I'll figure it out in a minute. Now, Roop walked. I thought he had, yes, he did walk. I put him down for a single, so he did walk. I remember it now well. Next pitch over. So we've got a 2-2 count while Brent Weber is standing here trying to figure out why I didn't have two hits on the board for why I had two hits on the ball for the Colt 45s. There's a breaking ball a little bit away. Didn't miss by much. Velarde. The lights are now starting to warm up as the shade is taking over the field. The last section's streaking out on right field and second base. That one missed inside. Ball four. First walk issued. First base runner allowed by Velarde. And it brings up Jeremy Martin, their right fielder and number nine hitter.
Number 35, Jeremy
Martin. Didn't play last night. He played the opening night out in center field. 0-3. He's a left-handed batter. Another player out of Clark. Not much of a lead for Farah, their catcher, over at first. First pitch over for a strike. I'm guessing Clark's colors are red because the Clark players all seem to have red cleats. I'm just going to take a big leap there. Here comes an 0-1 pitch. Velarde, slide step. It's high. 1-1. Colt 45s looking to get back on the winning track tonight. Early runs have been tough to come by in the last few games for either team. That one was a ball, 2-1. Jeremy Martin, left-handed batter, waits for the 2-1 pitch. Fastball swung on and missed. Actually, that was a changeup, and he was way out in front. It looked like a fastball, and that's what the changeup's supposed to do. Martin hitting 250 this summer for them in 52 at-bats. 2-2 pitch. Oh, he checked his swing but went halfway around. It was the slider, I believe, off speed, and he goes down on strikes. That brings up their leadoff hitter, Jack Fletcher, so that's seven of the last eight guys that he's faced. He's whiffed, and one of the guys in between walked. He's at first base. That's Ferris. So the last seven outs have been strikeouts for Velarde. Right-hander looking in. I think this summer we're also seeing his velocity increase, too. That's a good fastball there. They don't have the gun out tonight. We noticed that the Northwest Star Nighthawks had the radar gun out late last night on one of their pitchers. But Be interested to see how hard Ammon's throwing right now. He seems to be picking up some heat on his fastball. There's a changeup missed inside, 1-1. Now the lights are coming on the field. Velarde looks in for the sign, holds the ball in his pitching hand, not in his glove, while he takes the sign. It rested on his right leg and now comes to his stretch, delivers. That one's fouled back, 1-2. Some guys will hide the ball. Some guys will just keep the ball in their glove. Most guys will have the ball in their hand. Some guys will have the ball in their hand in the glove. Velarde working from the stretch, holds the ball down in front of his right leg as he peers in for the sign. Fletcher taking his time to get back in the box. Shakes off a pitch now. At the belt, sets and delivers. Messed up. Wanted to go with the curve there, or the slider, excuse me, and it's a little high and away. 2-2. So Farah at first base. He's stolen one base for them. He's going here. Fastball swung on and missed. He struck him out. So the side goes down again. On strikes. That is 8 straight batters to go down, or 8 straight outs recorded via strike. They did have a walk, and that man was left on base. We will go now to the bottom of the third. Colt 45s and the Northwest Nighthawks are scoreless at Tiger Field. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Reading.
Well, Colt 45's will send Connor McCoy, Andy Bayena, and Julian Kadama to the plate here in the bottom of the third, looking to get on the board. Try to get you up to date on some major league scores tonight.
Leading up for the Colt 45, second baseman number 7.
A couple of games during the day this afternoon. As well, quite a few finals are in. That pitch, a ball. Oakland beat Minnesota 5-4 earlier today. Bouncing ball hit towards third. Schaefer waves at it. Posey fields it, but no chance of getting the speedy McCoy over at first. That'll be an infield hit. Kershaw's really dealing right now against the Marlins for the Dodgers. They're up 6-0. He struck out 7 of the first 9 he faced. He's allowed only 2 hits. That's top of the 6th. Giants lose tonight this afternoon 11-4 to the Mets in San Francisco. Angels and Mariners tied at 2 in Seattle. I think that has you up to date on the West Coast scores. San Diego, that's right. Chicago Cubs beat San Diego 6-5 today. So those are your West Coast scores. We'll get you up to date a little bit later on. So at first, McCoy has good speed. Left-hander looks at him. Not a huge lead, not going over there. First pitch to Bayena is over for a strike. And he flew out to left field his first time up. He's 1-for-7 with a couple of runs batted in this series. 1-for-8 now, excuse me. That one's bounced up there. Didn't get too far away, but McCoy quickly heading off to second base, and this time the catcher Fair was not able to find it quick enough to make a throw. So that one will be a wild pitch. So Baena has a guy in scoring position. And he hasn't hit leadoff in a while, not since Tyler Thompson tried to take a day off a few weeks back. He started the season at the top of the lineup when he and Miggy Marquez were going back and forth, but Marquez has since left with an injury. He, of course, was a shortstop to start things off for the club. One the count. A little behind on that fastball, 1-2. Here comes a 1-2 now. Baena wearing the long dark sleeves. Long sleeves in the heat don't bother him, I guess. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on, chopped, third base, foul. Just over the third base bag, but foul. That was not, that had to be inches over there. He kind of took a butcher swing on it, just trying to stay alive, hacked at it. It would have been extra bases for sure with Andy's speed. Nobody out. Colt 45s have had a base runner on each inning, but nothing to show for it yet. The lights are now on at the field. Still no breeze of note on the playing field. And Baena swings at this one, bloops it towards left, but it's playable. Carson Doyle barely has to move from his left field position, so the runner will hold at second. And that's out number one. Brings up Julian Kodama, who did have an infield hit back in the first, extending his hitting streak to 19 games. Left-handed batter has a duck on the pond, as we say. That's a runner out at second base in Connor McCoy. They play him pretty deep in right field. Your center fielder plays shallow, not too deep out in left. Kadama's hit a lot of long balls to the opposite field. He's definitely a gap-to-gap hitter. Fouls that one back. Peyton Edwards on deck. Just one out. Looking in for the sign now, Whitwright. Comes to the stretch. Takes a deep breath. Looks at the runner at second, then delivers a fastball. Slow roller, hit towards second. That'll move the runner to third. McCoy takes a big turn. They are able to get Kadama at first base. McCoy holds over at third base. So that's out number two. So a two-outs, Peyton Edwards with a chance. He flew out to right field his last time up. As mentioned last night, Peyton returned to the lineup midway through the game, got the last couple of at-bats at DH, and was 2-for-2 with a solo homer and an infield hit. Swings and laces it towards center field. The center fielder coming over dives and does indeed make the catch for out number three. Fletcher, a nice job tracking it down. Thought it was going to fall in, but it didn't. And tip of the cap there to him on that catch in center. No runs, another hit. One man left in scoring position. We'll go to the top of the fourth. Still scoreless at Tiger Field. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR.
Market volatility has become a fact of life. What does this mean for your investments? Are you aware of and prepared for the risks volatility poses to your portfolio? Should you consider changing your specific holdings or the mix of assets in your account?
Rick Hill and Rory Greek Financial Advisors, the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can give you insights about these and other questions and can also suggest strategies that may help better prepare you for the market's ups and downs.
Please call Rick Hill or Rory Greek Financial Advisors at the Redding, California branch at Rick Hill or Rory Greek at 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Brooks Dyer leading it off. It'll be Dyer, Ogata, and Posey here in the fourth. Colt 45's right-hand Raymond Velarde has been solid. He's allowed only one base runner or a walk in the third. First pitch is a little bit away, 1-0. Dyer, the first of his 8 strikeout victims now. Fastball popped up left side. Schrodel, Kyle, backpedaling a little bit. 5 feet in front of the track makes the catch for out number one. First fly ball out of the game against Velarde. And it brings up Case Ogata, who struck out to end the first. Right-handed batter. And we had a Colt 45's pitcher flirt with a no-hitter just 2 nights ago. Jacob Marquez threw 7 1/3 no-hit innings and then gave up a home run. So it blew the shutout, too. This one swung on, lined into the left field corner. It is a fair ball, so that is a hit. Heading towards second base is Ogata. He will slide there, at the last second as Schrodel comes up with a good throw. So a one-out double. So we won't have any of that no-hit magic tonight. First base hit off of him, and the first guy in scoring position while Velarde's on the hill tonight. Their coaching staff, Casey Dyer in the third base box. He's the club manager. Odie Hollingshead, their first base coach. Runner at second, Ogata, runs pretty well. The cleanup hitter is Posey, the shortstop. We mentioned he's just going to start his college career in the fall at Boise State. A 1-0 pitch coming to him. Velarde checks the runner at second. Fastball's a good one, but it's just a little bit away, 2-0. Velarde looking in. He has his sign. Doesn't check the runner this time. It's fouled back. 2-1. As mentioned, a nice crowd out tonight. Third base VIP pavilion is a nice crowd as well. Velarde looks back to second. This time he delivers the plate. That was the changeup. Swung on and missed. 2-2 the count. One down here in the fourth. First base hit off of Velarde. A double has the runner at second. Cole Posey, wide stance, open stance, lifts his leg and then straightens it out as he swings and misses it. That one, strike three. 9 strikeouts. We're just in the fourth inning for Velarde. Amon's dealing tonight. Season high for the team is Velarde. He had 10 strikeouts back in his first start. Actually started in a rainout game, but it was his first start that counted as a pitcher. He had 10 strikeouts in that one. And that's a season high for any pitcher on the team this summer. There's the slider over for a strike. Taylor Burcham standing in. He was a strikeout victim in the second. Looks back to second, and again delivering, and this one's a bouncer hit towards second. McCoy fields it, throws it on to first, and that is out number 3. No runs, a hit, a double, and that runner stranded at second base. Go to the bottom of the fourth, looking to draw first blood here. Colt 45's baseball on KCNR.
Dude, look what just popped up on my timeline.
Dude, I was just thinking about the charbroiled double deals from Carl's Jr. California Classic Double Cheeseburger, Jalapeno Double Cheeseburger, and the Double Cheeseburger.
3 mouthwatering burgers for only $2.99 each.
How did they know we were starving?
How did they know I only have about $2.99 in my wallet?
It's the algorithm, man. He knows everything.
Whoa, wait. Who's the algorithm?
Charbroil Double Deals. Only at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time. Price and participation may vary. Price higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Tax not included.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Colt 45 is looking to get on the board here in the fourth. It'll be the cleanup hitter, Tanner Tweet, followed by Brendan Roop and Chris Brew, the 4-5-6 hitters in tonight's lineup. Colt 45s have two hits now after McCoy's infield hit in the third. Right-hand batter Tweet just chomping the swing, but takes it high for a ball. Tanner up to 256 with three homers, 11 runs batted in coming into the game. Swings and misses that one way out in front at the off speed. One ball, one strike pitch coming. Colt 45's fans looking for something to cheer about here. It's been a pretty quiet game. Of course, Eamon Velarde's given them some thrills with all those strikeouts. Two ball, one strike count now coming to Tweet. Wears a pair of weathered batting gloves, takes that one inside. 3-1. Saw that Garcia for the White Sox hit a 459-foot home run today. Wow. And Chris Davis, two-run single for the A's, put them out in front in their game. That one swung on and missed. Now the count at 3-2 on Tweet. Well, Davis has turned out to be some kind of player with the A's. There's the changeup misses. Ball four, didn't miss by much. Tweet has a good eye, and he takes ball four. Brendan Roop now comes to the plate. Tanner runs well. And in fact, the big guy already has, I think, seven steals. Let's double check that. Yeah, seven steals, and you wouldn't think so for a catcher, but he hadn't been playing catcher all that much, and he does. He reminds me of Gerald Laird when he was his age. Good speed. Just a strong power hitter. And Laird, I believe, was a left-handed batter. I could be wrong there, but I saw Laird play at Cypress College in Orange County before he began his career. And watching Tanner catch reminded me of Laird a little bit. He had a long major league career. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Roop. That one's inside, a little bit low, 1-1. Brendan walked and was actually thrown out when a ball in the dirt blocked by the catcher didn't get far enough away. Brendan tried to head to second, and he was thrown out by Fair, the catcher. Wasn't really a caught stealing. I guess technically it probably was. There's a fastball hit sharply left side. The shortstop goes down on a knee. Schaefer throws over to second for one and beat it out at first base. But, boy, Posey showing a little bit of razzle-dazzle over there, going down, sliding down on that hard dirt. I don't know that he even needed to do that, but he was able to get the out at second base. So 6-4 in your scorebook. Safe at first on the fielder's choice is Roop, who runs well. And Chris Brew comes to the plate. Now, Chris reached on a throwing error by the third baseman in the second. Right-handed hitter standing in with one out now here in the fourth of a scoreless game. Brew asks for time. He and Whitwright have been taking an awful lot of time. He's grown a little weary with him in the first at-bat, asking for time several times. The catcher for Whitwright, Fair, are going to go out and have a little chat with him. Yes, indeedy. 50 years ago, man, landed and then set foot on the moon. Wow. Some kind of day. day to remember. If you're not old enough, a terrific documentary I saw on National Geographic using actual footage and stuff from those days. Didn't have any commentator, just strung together. It was really great. Throw over to first base. But there are quite a few of those out there on some of the networks and channels and so on. Pitcher has the ball. Good lead again over at first for Roop. He's not going anywhere. That one's over for a little bit low. Thought it was going to be a strike on Brew. Pretty good fastball. Chris ready to stand in again. Pitcher working now a little quicker. Brew waits. That one's high. Might have been a pitch out snap throw down to first and Roop back in sliding. Might have been a pitch out. And in that case, if you got a pitch out going and they don't go, oftentimes a catcher will try to see if he can catch the base runner sleeping. Since he's already up thinking about throwing anyway, didn't work. Swung on, bloop towards center field. Fletcher has a bead on it, and he'll make the catch in shallow center for out number two. So it'll be up to Kyle Schrodel to keep this thing going in the fourth. Schrodel struck out in the second. Kyle out in left field. He was a late addition to the lineup in left. I'm not sure. I believe he was going to catch tonight. But when both Machuca and Thompson came up hurting, both needing the day off, they had to switch some things around. So Tweet went out to right. Schrodel went out to left. And Horsley in the lineup. First pitch is over. Is rather a little bit low for a ball, 1-0. Nice lead now for Roop over at first. He's not going anywhere. Swung on, hit well towards left center. He got under it. It may stay in the park. Let's see. Turning now and watching. And no. Did he get it? Oh, my. What a catch out in center field by Jack Fletcher up against the wall. And you got to say, robbing Kyle Schrodel in that particular at-bat. He gave it a good charge. Thought he was going to get his first one, but it didn't happen. So no runs, no hits. A walk and a man left on base. We go to the top of the fifth. And it's still scoreless. The Northwest Star Nighthawks out of Portland against your Colt 45s on KCNR.
Life is about what you put into it. It's also about what you leave out. That's why we serve ham with no antibiotics. Ever. Wholesome by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Go big or go home. What kind of choice is that? Go big and stay home with Jersey Mike's delivered by Uber Eats. Having it all by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Powerhouse Solar announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
And now back to more Colt 45 baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
All righty, we go to the top of the fifth, moving right along. And no score in this game. Colt 45s and the Northwest Star Nighthawks out of Portland. For the team out of Portland, no runs, a hit, one error. Colt 45s, no runs, two hits. No errors. And the big right-hander, Eamon Velarde, has eight strikeouts now. Nine strikeouts, excuse me. And he is one shy of his season high and the team season high. Leadoff hitter is Schaefer, the third baseman, stands in, takes the first pitch. And it's a ball. Oh, it's a strike. I was just guessing 50-50 because errs, the home plate umpire, doesn't really make it clear sometimes. That's swung on and missed, so it's 0-2. This is the frozen fifth, so the fans are hoping that the Colt 45s can keep the Nighthawks scoreless again because then they get a discount on ice cream the rest of the inning. There's a changeup fouled off. Oh, went a while last night. They got a run in the – each team had a run in the first inning. It's the day before it stayed scoreless into the fifth. The first game between these two clubs, 0-2. There's a breaking ball, missed away, not by much. 1-2, tried to get him to chase it. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Velarde. Good velocity, bad location, up and away, 2-2. I'd like to see a gun on him tonight. They don't have their radar gun out, I don't believe, but Amon's throwing hard. 2-2 the pitch. He rocks back, big leg up, delivers, swung on, pop to left. Kyle Schrodel sees it and wanders over towards the foul line, makes the catch for out number one. That's just the second fly ball out of the game. And it brings up Carson Doyle. He struck out in the third his first time up. And Doyle has struggled in the series a little bit. He was 0 for 4 last night. Didn't play the opening game, so I shouldn't say in the series, but he struck out three times last night. He did get a walk and actually drove in a run with a bases-loaded walk. Takes a cut at the first pitch he sees, misses it 0-1. Right-hander asks for time as he gets set in the box. Velarde still working from the wind, missing away, trying to juice that one up a little bit, missed it. 1-1. Velarde, ball in his hand, reaches up, squares his cap away, now goes into the wind. 1-1 the pitch, slider missed inside, 2-1, not by much. Just throwing a few more of the breaking balls here. The catcher, Luke Farah, on deck. Farah, one of only two guys to reach base in this game against Damon. Here's a 2-1 delivery. Big right-hander. Throws the slider, swung on and missed. Strike two, 2-2. This is the Velarde we saw before he took those couple of weeks off. All the pitches working, fastball, good. Staying out in front. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, fouled that one back out of play. Still pretty night. Seeing some beautiful peaks of Lassen. The Lassen peaks over to the west. We see those over the right field wall, as I've mentioned to you before. But those are the ones I really see clearly. And, of course, see the snow that's still up there and is always up on the backside. 2-2. That was the slider missed low. 3-2. But absolutely beautiful. There's the big trees around the fire station, the police station, kind of block out some of them, but old trees here in downtown Reading are important too. So here comes a payoff pitch from Velarde. That one on the outside corner, but just a little bit high, ball four. Didn't miss that one by much. Second walk of the game. Third base runner. And it brings up Luke Farah. He was the first base runner off of Velarde, and that was back in the third. We're in the fifth of a scoreless game here at Tiger Field. Thought runs might be a little tougher to come by with Thompson and Machuca out with injuries. We'll see if the Colt 45s can take up the slack when they come to the plate next inning. But they have run into some pretty good starting pitching for Portland. This one swung on, hit pretty well towards left center, but Andy Bayena in left center in front of the track makes the catch for out number two. That's probably the hardest hit ball, I would say, off of Amon, if not the double. That was a hit off of him by Ogata. Jeremy Martin now comes to the plate with a man at first and two outs. Martin, one of those nine strikeout victims in the third. In the first game against the Colt 45s, he was 0-for-3 with a foul out, a fly out, and a strikeout. Those were against Marquez. Marquez and of course, solid starting performance that night. Here's a 1-0 pitch coming. Runner not going. It's inside. 2-0, so Amon falling behind these last couple of guys a little bit. Velarde's thrown 75 pitches. This deep into the summer, he should be good to go a few more innings. He's gone pretty deep into a few of these counts. Runner's going. The throw down to second on the ball. It's bang, bang, and he got him. Group made the tag. Horsley with a bullet throw right on the spot. So caught stealing. 2-6. And we'll go to the bottom of inning number 5. Still scoreless. Colts 45s and the Northwest Star Nighthawks. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Come on, let's sit down together. I could stay here forever. Friendly smiles, family and friends, place piled high with happiness. Laughter time, it feels like home to me. Can't explain it, you just have to see. Hey, Black Bear feels like home.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning. Build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Bottom of the fifth, a scoreless game between the Colt 45s and Portland's Northwest Star Nighthawks. The man who made a perfect throw to second to catch the would-be base stealer, Nick Horsley, will lead things off here in the fifth. He fouled out to the third baseman in the second. Colt 45s have had a base runner in each inning. They have a couple of infield hits. But really,
leading up for the Colt 45, catcher Nick Horsley.
Their best hit ball has been tracked down by the center fielder for them, who's made a couple of really dazzling plays, one up against the wall and the other a diving catch. Horsley's first pitch to him is fouled back out of play. Good to see Nick up there hacking. I think he's hurt himself sometimes this summer, especially in the throes of that slump he was in that – I think he'd find himself 0-2 so fast in the count. And he's been up there taking his hit by watching pitches. He's up there swinging. He pops up, hits this one right side. It's in the air and should be playable by their right fielder who makes the catch for out number one. Connor McCoyne out of the plate. Connor had an infield hit in the third. He went second on a wild pitch and thought he was going to score with two outs. And Peyton Edwards launched one, but center fielder made a good catch, and that was that. He made a diving catch, I should say, to end that inning. First pitch to McCoy is a ball, 1-0. So Connor hitting .245 this summer, no homers, 6 runs batted in, but he has 15 walks in just 17 games. So he's gotten on base. His on-base percentage is .420, and he's got more and more comfortable hitting at this level. He'll be going to Shasta College, coming out of high school. This one swung on, hit left side through the hole, knocked down by their shortstop, but no chance to get him. I'll tell you, Posey shows pretty good range over there at short, but... That's an infield hit for McCoy, his second of the game. And it brings up Andy Baena. And Baena has lifted fly balls to left in the first and third innings. He showed bunt his first at-bat here with one out. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't do it again. The third baseman, Schaefer, now coming in a little bit. He's not in too close. Not in expecting a bunt. Let's see what Baena does. not a big lead at first for McCoy. Bounced up there. The catcher scoops it, though. Keeps it not only in front of him, but in his glove. And McCoy not going anywhere. A ball and no strikes the count. Right-handed hitter. Rocks back and forth a bit in the box. Lifts his front foot until he's ready now to step into it. Oh, that one was over in a strike. Andy probably wishes he maybe had been ready to swing on that one, because I think that's what he was looking for. 1-1 the count. Whit Wright has looked pretty good tonight. They've had solid starts each night. Here's the 1-1. Runner's going. Bounced up there. No chance to get him. Stolen base from McCoy. So for the kid, that is his eighth steal since joining the team. Bayena has a 2-1 count. Yeah, that one was a ball. It was in the dirt. Now with a man in scoring position and one out, Bayena a chance. And he's come up with some pretty big hits this summer. He has 23 runs batted in, and that's mostly hitting in the 9 spot. Here's a 2-1 pitch. Fastball outside, 3-1. So let's see what Andy's looking for here on a 3-1 count. Will he get another fastball? Whit Wright has a good one. So he's tried to slip it by some guys, and he's been successful. I mean, they only have 3 infield hits. I mean, McCoy's would have been hits anyway. That one's over inside corner, called for a strike. Andy was kind of thinking he might have gotten a walk out of it, but no. Here's the full count delivery with one out, man at second. Whit Wright looks in for the sign. The lefty comes to the stretch and delivers. And swung on, missed the breaking ball, strike 3. Andy was trying to do something with it. He was eager. Goes down on strikes. So it brings up Julian Kadama. Kadama is 1-for-2. Infield hit in the first and a bounce out to second in the third. Will Whit Wright get out of another jam? I mean, he's had base runners every inning, but they haven't been able to get the big hit. Fastball swung on, popped up in the infield, playable. Second baseman calls for it and makes the catch. And just like that, no runs a hit. And one stolen base leaves that man on second base. And we go to the top of the sixth. Still scoreless, Colt 45s and Portland's Northwest Nighthawks. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
The Cascade Theater presents 4 free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. 4 films, 4 Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First 5 Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, it is another tight game, another good, strong pitching performance, and a pitcher's duel. And Eamon Velarde is certainly holding up his part. He will face the 9-1-2 hitters in the lineup for the team on your scorecard listed as, schedule listed as the Portland Stars or the Portland All-Stars. This one bounced left side. Velarde from his backside tries to throw, and that was a mistake. He threw it away. And head running down to second is Jeremy Martin. So Martin reaches on an infield hit, the plate bouncer, but then an error, throwing error, You're not going to throw guys out from your backside very often. I'm sure Eamon knows it. Martin showed good speed, so the concern there was he going to head to third? Now Velarde's going to have a little chat with Horsley, and they're going to talk about the leadoff hitter, Fletcher. Fletcher also has good speed. He might think about putting one down, bunting one. Kodama would have to stay at home, and Velarde would have to field anything to the third base side. So if you're Fletcher and you're thinking, hey, I want to bunt, probably not going to bunt first base side. You want to push it up the third base side, try to either get it right on the line or force Velarde to make a play behind the pitcher's mound. We'll see. He squares the bunt, pulls back, bounced up there, but Horsley blocks it, keeps it in front, 1-0. He's asking for time now. Velarde is, and he's going to talk to Horsley again with Fletcher showing bunt. They want to just make sure they understand their defensive responsibilities here. And Brew is in on the grass. Now, Kadama's there in case the ball obviously butcher boys or swings away, but he can't come charging in. Somebody has to cover third. And that would be him. So Kodama's looking. They're seeing. He pulls back. They think they got to throw it second, and Horsley throws it down. Roop almost came down with the tag. That was a strike. He showed bunt, but pulled back, but it was still called a strike. Fletcher looking down again for the sign from Dyer in the third base box. Waiting on a 1-1, showing bunt again. Gets it first base side. Brew looks to third, now turns and throws to first where McCoy was covering for him. So the sacrifice was executed well and defensed well. Only play, really. Would have been a mistake for Brew to try to get the speedy runner over at third. So it goes down in the book as a sacrifice 3-4. And it brings up Brooks Dyer, the number two hitter. He's 0-2, struck out in the first. Flew to seven in the scorebook. Flew to left in the fourth. Good fastball from Velarde. Might have been his best one tonight. It was over for a strike. Eamon working quickly now here with one out. Oh, he goes high. Horsley, it pops out of his glove. Velarde covering the play at the plate. Bang, bang, ball kicked loose. Run scores. It's 1-0. On a ball that got away. Not sure if it'll be ruled a pass ball or a wild pitch, but that's a tough one. Eamon a little late getting there, and Nick a little bit late maybe pouncing on it, but there was no hesitation on the part of Jeremy Martin, and that's what made the difference. 1-1, inside corner, just a little bit inside, 2-1. They did rule that a wild pitch. Did he just hit him? He didn't even try to move. Oh, my goodness. Hate that about college baseball. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Guy's got to try to get out of the way. So Dyer down at first. Okay, so Ogata to the plate. Ogata's shown a little pop. He had that double back in the fourth. Only extra base hit of the night. And not just for the Nighthawks, for either team. Taps the outside of the plate, then the center of the plate now waits. Velarde back in the stretch. Good lead at first for Dyer. Does not look over there. Swung on. Sawed off his bat. Slow roller left side. Kodama bare hand throw, and he won't get him at first. Brew knocked it down. Kodama might have gotten him with a perfect throw, but that's got to be an infield hit. Saw it off the bat. Nope, they gave him an error. How about that? So if he doesn't throw the ball away, pull Brew off the bag, then it's an out. Kodama hit with the error there. So the runner at second is Dyer. He had to hold, actually. We chose to hold there. Ogata at first. Well, Dyer was at first. Excuse me. He went to second. So Velarde's fastball fouled back out of play.
strikes next.
Action in the Colt 45's bullpen. The left-hander throwing. Raised his cap. Said he's ready. That's Colby Milligan. No ball, one strike pitch coming. Change up. Oh, Horsley can't get it. It's back to the screen. Runners will all move up. So wheels kind of wobbling here for Eamon Velarde in the sixth. Eamon has thrown 85 pitches. It's not his tops. I think he's thrown 100 pitches in that in a game. 1-1 count. Runners on second and third. Corner infielders are in. The others are back. Swung on. Sawed off bat again to third. Kodama comes to the plate. Tag there. And the ball kicked loose. Would have had him, but the ball was kicked loose. It'll be an error on Horsley. Tough luck. That's tough luck as a catcher because you're just making the sweep tag. And, you know, bang, bang, it happens. But he's gotten two broken bat rollers. Now Barrett Fasking's going to go out and talk to Eamon. I mean, the third time through the lineup, they're making contact on him now. But again, those last couple were, one of these was an infield hit and the other two broken bats. And that's going to be it for Velarde. They're going to go to Colby Milligan. So Eamon, a good job, but he's going to leave with a 2-0 deficit. The runners on base will belong to him. We'll be back to tell you about his replacement, this pitching change, on KCNR.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but next brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the vitamin shop. My Sleep Number is 40 and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target center next to the vitamin shop.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Colby Milligan, the left-hander, making his fourth relief appearance, his ninth appearance of the summer. He has a 1-2 record, 6.84 earned run average. He's allowed just 22 hits and 25 innings pitched. For a lot of the guys, walks have been the problem. It's not uncommon for college pitchers. 20 walks and 25 innings, 21 strikeouts as well. For the big left-hander, 6'3", 210. Out of Shasta College. He lives in Reading, of course, now. And the big left-hander is going to be attending University of Texas Permian Basin to pitch as a starter. Runner going first pitch, fastball. He didn't even look at him. With men on the corners, they let him steal. So stolen base, puts men on second and third. Posey at second. Ogata at third. We have just one out. The right-handed hitter is Taylor Burcham. No balls and a strike to count. Corner infielders are in again. Time is called. Milligan has a good fastball. He's always thrown hard. Working on other things this summer, as all these guys do. Nice big kick. He really cocks that ball back in his left arm, in his pitching arm. And he goes into his motion. That one missed a little inside, 1-1. It's one of those scenarios where you really would love to get a strikeout. But it looked like Eamon Velarde was going to smash his season mark. He had 9 strikeouts through the first 4 innings. And then something else happened. Bouncer towards second. Another run will score. They'll take the out. You would not have been able to get him at the plate. I don't know why the fans would be booing that. It'll be an unearned run, but a run nevertheless. Posey moves over to third, and that's out number two. We got a pinch hitter here. Hitting for Schaefer, Brad Grant, little guy, right-handed hitter out of Benedictine University. Grant swings at the first pitch he sees, hits it to third. Kodama fields it. Can't beat it with a stick. It's an error. So, a wobbly sixth again here tonight. That one big inning is... Last night it was the fourth inning. That's the third error of this inning. Grant reaches... Posey scores. It's now 4-0. And Carson Doyle, the right-handed batter, comes to the plate. He walked and was caught stealing in the fifth. Struck out back in the third. Colby Milligan has done his job. I mean, he got the ground out. But now he's got to get another one. Now has to get another one. No ball, one strike pitch. Looks over at first. Pretty good lead there for Grant. It's not going. Change up over for a strike. 0-2 quickly. Now the question is, can the Colt 45s mentally reset after this letdown of an inning? That's what you have to do. You have to put it out of your mind. It's just a 4-0 game. You have four more at-bats, but you don't want to let this linger. I think they kind of did that last night. Fastball swung on and missed. Struck him out. So a big strikeout for Milligan. But we finally have some runs on the board. The Northwest Star Nighthawks put four on the board, and they got a lot of help. Only one hit. It was an infield hit. There were three errors in that inning and one man left on base. We head now to the bottom of the sixth. Time for the Colt 45's bats to wake up. Trailing 4-0 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, let's see if the Colt 45s have come out focused here in the bottom of the sixth, now trailing 4-0 after an inning that included three errors and only one infield hit, but produced four runs and chased Eamon Velarde. We've had pretty good pitchers matchups, and we've seen three good starting pitchers from the Nighthawks. First game, it was Rush, who went 4 2/3, didn't give up an earned run, just one hit. But he ran out of gas. And then last night, it was Vickers, who went 7 innings, didn't give up an earned run, scattered 6 hits. Peyton Edwards leading it off, hits it high towards right field. And it's playable. That's Martin making the catch for out number one. Colt 45 has been getting the ball up in the air. I mean, it's... Let's see, of the outs, they have only struck out twice tonight, and there have only been one, one ground ball out. There was another error by their third baseman, so potentially, but most everything's been up in the air, so they're just, they're making contact, just not getting it hot. That one's hit sharply towards third. The new third baseman reaches up, makes the catch, makes the play, and throws out Tanner Tweed for out number two. That was the replacement over at third, Brad Grant. And I think he is a much more nimble third baseman over there than Schaefer. So at least they hit that one hard. Tweed got the nose on it. And brings up Brendan Roop. The Fort Scott Greyhound, shortstop, he's 0 for 1 tonight. Walked in the second, hit into a fielder's choice, shortstop, made a nice play on it to get the runner at second in the fourth. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Good cut, he's seeing it well, fouled it back, but Whitwright got to be getting near his... Not as deep in pitch count as Velarde was. Amon had 87 pitches. Whitwright is at 72. And his strike-to-ball ratio is better than 2-1. Swung on, bounce, foul left side. Nobody throwing in the Cole 45's pen. They do have some activity in the bullpen for the Nighthawks, but it's up again, down again. I think they're just trying to keep a couple of guys ready in case Whitwright either reaches his pitch count or tires. Here's the pitch, swung on, hit pretty well, but in the air, not too deep. Towards right center, the right fielder lost it for a moment, but then calls off the center fielder to make the catch. The Cole 45s go down in order, not what you were hoping for, after giving up those four runs in the top of the inning. You could hear crickets out here right now. They'll have to keep them right where they're at. Trailing 4-0, going to the top of the seventh here on KCNR.
The new Christy Minstrels are returning to Rennie's historic Cascade Theater August 3rd. This hit-making machine won Grammys and spawned the careers of Kenny Rogers and Kim Carnes. The new Christy Minstrels, Saturday, August 3rd at 7:30. Get tickets today to relive the heyday of the 60s popular folk trend with the new Christy Minstrels. 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler, has been in business since 1983, serving Northern California, Southern Oregon, and Western Nevada. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier for the industrial and construction markets with same-day delivery. North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler on Crossroads Drive right here in Redding. Call 222-1500. That's 222-1500.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Colby Millick, seems like he just came in, but that was a very fast 1-2-3 inning. Colt 45's in the bottom half of the sixth. Not what they wanted after giving up those four runs in the sixth. And those four runs, I believe three of them were unearned. No, they were all considered to be unearned. Velarde left 5 1/3, giving up just two hits. And one of them was hard hit. He allowed just two walks, but then wasn't making the pitches. They were starting to get on him, and they wanted to give a different look, so they brought in Milligan. Left-hander now facing the right-handed hitting catcher, Luke Ferry. He's 0-for-1, flew to center to end the fifth, walked back in the third. Good fastball to start it off on the outside corner from the wind. Strike one. As I mentioned, Colby will be slated for a starting role down at Texas Permian Basin. And he made the choice to go to school there. They have a really strong, I believe it's a Division II program, a little bit of a powerhouse down there. But he's going sight unseen. He's not been to campus, but he's convinced it's the place for him. There's the curveball over for a strike, 1-2. Milligan, working from the wind, likes to hold the ball in his glove right in front of his face until he gets the sign, then rocks back. Briefly, you see the ball when he cocks it. If you're the hitter, you might see it flash. So it could be a little distracting, but then you don't see the ball in his hand again. It could be hard to pick up if his fastball is really working. A ball and two strikes. He fouled that one back. Not one inside. 2-2. Four runs, two hits, one error for the Northwest Star Nighthawks. No runs, three hits, four errors for the Colt 45s. Those errors killed them last night and are killing them tonight so far. Fastball up, 3-2. So Eamon Velarde, I believe you'd say he deserved a better fate. But again, Colt 45s have three more at-bats. So the way I put it is you have a third of your game left, one-third of the game left to try to score four runs. You certainly can do that. Milligan, though, misses on that pitch. It's ball four. And he's calling for Horsley to come on out and have a talk with him, make sure they're on the same page here. So down to first on the leadoff walk is Farrah, the catcher. He walked back in the third, so he's shown pretty good patience up there. Now Jeremy Martin comes to the plate. That infield hit last inning just kind of started the whole mess. Martin batting left. An infield hit. It was like a chopper in front. Then Velarde, misguided, made a throw into the... Actually, there were four errors in that inning, so I should correct myself. Made a throw into the... almost out to the bullpen. Popped up, foul, going to be out of play. Almost needed my net there, but wasn't feeling it. Showing bunt. So Jeremy Martin, as mentioned, he would then was sacrificed over to third and scored on a play where the catcher dropped the ball at the plate. Or no, he didn't, excuse me. That was Dyer, I apologize. Plate bouncer foul territory. Horsley fielded it, but it was called foul right away. The plate bouncer, after it bounces off the plate, then where is the ball when you catch it? And it was in foul territory when he caught it. Once the ball hits the ground, then the umpire uses the plane, if that makes sense. But if it hasn't hit the ground and flies over the base, for example, at first or third, and has not hit the ground and then hooks foul, it's foul. Doesn't matter if it was fair when it went over the base. But once it hits the ground, then it, wherever it is touched is where it will be ruled. That's called for a strike three. Wow, big one. Colby needed it. Out number one. Again, runner at first is the catcher, but I think he has one stolen base this summer. Looked to us like he moved pretty well. Jack Fletcher, now they're top of the order. He's officially 0 for 2. He had that sacrifice last inning that moved Martin over to third. And then it just got ugly from there. There was a hit batter, an error, ground out, an error. You know the drill. One bad inning can spoil the whole bunch, baby. It's not over yet, though. Swung on, fouled off right side. A lot of baseball left to be played. How do you respond? That's what all teams have to ask themselves, how all athletes have to ask themselves. How do you respond to adversity? Fans are still here. They're still expecting it, expecting the Colt 45s to mount a comeback. So are they, I hope. Milligan working from the stretch again. Got no one count now. One out here in the top of the seventh. Game's moving right along. Looks over at Farrah. He's running. He's got him picked off. Brook, though, can't handle the ball in his glove, so would have had him at second base. It'll be a stolen base. I mean, they had him picked off. He ran before Milligan even started. And so that's error number five. Will they give him an error? Or will they just give him a stolen base? 0-1 the pitch. Change up. Missed high. 1-1. I don't know why they gave him a balk. I didn't see the sign balk. I think he had him picked off. Here's a 1-1 pitch, but they ruled it as a balk, but I think that's just a mistake. Swung on, hit well to center. Bayena going back, reaches up, makes the catch. Runner fakes tagging at second, but won't go.
Now batting here, batter Brooks Dyer.
And that's out number two. Well, maybe I missed it. Maybe they did call it a balk. And in that case, then it wouldn't have been a misplay by Brew. Have to check with the umpire on that. Brings up Brooks Dyer. Dyer is 0-for-2. He was hit by a pitch in that sixth inning, last inning, and did wind up scoring. He was actually dead meat at the plate, but was able to kick the ball loose, or the ball was knocked loose. The ball had gotten away from Horsley, and he threw it, was a good throw, excuse me. Am I getting them all mixed up? I might be a little bit, but couldn't hang on to it. And it was ruled an error. No, bang, bang, play at the plate. Ball and a strike to count on the right-handed hitter, Brooks Dyer. Farah at second, in scoring position with two outs. It was a good-looking fastball, but it was just a little away. Not by much. Blake Ayers getting a little tight here. 2-1 the count here in the top of the seventh with two outs. There's a good-looking fastball. Snap throw to second, but the runner back safely. Connor McCoy able to chase it down. They did get... means that Luke Farah got really dirty out there, which I think should be a goal of any ball player. Get dirty early. That's what I mean. Roll around in it. Dive in it. That means you're getting dirty. Breaking ball. Swung on. Missed. He struck him out. That is the third strikeout for Milligan. So no runs, a walk. Man left in scoring position. And we will be heading to the bottom of the seventh. It's seventh inning stretch time. Do whatever you like to do during the seventh inning stretch. And we will be back with more baseball. Colt 45 is needing to get the bats going, trailing 4-0 on KCNR.
The Redding Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families. And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The curve is planting seeds. They get more education here. So this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Redding Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place, and they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Redding Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at readingrancheria.com.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Auto Generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Reading.
So they came to town calling themselves the Portland All-Stars, but we just had the name wrong there. The Northwest Star Nighthawks, so we're calling them the Northwest Nighthawks. They're from Portland. And they're leading 4-0. A little extended seventh inning stretch. And yes, indeed, the scorekeeper had it right, and I did not hear the play last inning, so it was indeed a balk on the play that moved the runner to second. Didn't matter, because the big lefty was able to get the strikeout to get out of it. They're still doing Take Me Out of the Ball Game, the long version which I like. But that was clarified. I went down and asked Barrick Tasking. He gave me the. They said he gained ground with his foot. And basically, you can't. Once you go to that stretch, you cannot move your feet until you begin your delivery. So you can't slide your foot forward or back, or move your foot on the rubber either way. And so they saw it. I didn't. Scorekeeper saw it. They were right on it. And that brings up here in the bottom of the seventh. Chris Brew is going to lead things off. They have a new pitcher in. Grant Gilmore is a left-hander. First pitch swung on a miss is a strike. He's 6 foot, 170-pounder out of Clark. So you can put the final book on the Nighthawks starter. Whitwright was very, very good. Six innings, three hits, no runs, no earned. Two walks and two strikeouts. I'm just glad to see somebody else in there. But this little guy's throwing pretty hard, working from the stretch exclusively. Fastball popped up. I was thinking I might grab the net. It is in foul territory. First base side. Now it goes over to fair territory. And Bruce safe. It was one of those big high pops. You take it. I got it. Let's all watch it. Oh, you could give a team error on that one or give Brew a hit. We'll see. Either way, they have a base runner. And that's good news. They didn't have one last night. They're giving him a hit. Guy, you got to love that. That's the old, you take it, I got it. Let's stand here and watch it hit and give Chris Brew a base hit. Kyle Schrodel now to the plate. Here's a guy who really would like to help his team out. Swings, hits a plate, bouncer, slow roller right side. Going to be trouble. Pitcher field, shovels it to first. Looks like a sacrifice to me. It won't be considered that, but it did the same job, moves the runner over. It goes down as a 1-3, I believe, in the book, and it brings up Nick Horsley, the catcher now, with a man in scoring position. So Colt 45's bottom of their lineup. Hey, no part of their lineup has been putting it together tonight, and they certainly didn't do a lot of that last night. So Nick's being called on here with a chance to help his team out. Let's see what he can do. Lefty on the right-handed batter swung on, rolled left side. They're definitely seeing the ball a little better from this lefty than they saw with the starter. Three solid starters for them that we've seen, as I mentioned. All right, here's the 0-1 pitch now for the right-handed batter. Horsch has been up there taking his hacks tonight. Takes that one away. It's a ball, 1-1. I like it. I like when he's being a little more aggressive up there. I don't know anything. I'm not his hitting coach. I watch a lot of batting practice. I talk to him. I talk to Bill Plummer, too, and you know, Nick is, once he starts going, he's going to start going, and hopefully he just keeps going on into college. Swung on, hit sharply towards third, but it's fielded there. Looks the runner back, throws to first, they get him. Brew is now able to head to third safely. So that one moves the runner to third, where he is with two outs. It was well played. Everybody played it the right way. Brew didn't go or wander too far off. And now Connor McCoy has a chance to help his team out here. Connor has a pair of infield hits, which is a mammoth night considering the Colt 45s only have four hits, and pretty much all of them were infield hits. If you consider the pop-up that fell that Brew had to start this inning. Good fastball, a little low, 1-0. They are running the gun over there on this pitcher now as well. I wish I could see with my binoculars, but I can't. 1-0 pitch. That one's fouled back. 1-1. And the catcher, that one went off somebody's mask. Either Ayers, the umpire, or the catcher. On the foul tip. They examine the baseball, and it is good to go if needed in the future. So they didn't just throw it out. This is the major leagues. Balls are expensive. Swung on and missed. Connor took a pretty big cut at it, and he's going to have to shorten that stroke down now. Try to protect the plate here with the runner at third. You want to hit the ball hard somewhere. You don't have to hit it out of the park, that's for sure. Not that Connor was trying to do that by any stretch, but now you have to protect the plate with a 1-2 pitch coming. So Gilmore steps off the rubber. Now gets back on board. McCoy is in the box. Slightly choked up on that black bat. And now he's going to call his catcher out, calls for time. Yeah, and I have been impressed with their pitching. Now he and the catcher get on the same page. Gilmore leans in, looks for the sign. Here's a 2.84 earned run average of the summer for him. And the pitch, a fastball swung on, tries to go to the right side. Slow roller. Is anybody going to be able to cover first? First baseman Fields throws the first, and he's safe. Connor beats it out. They're asking for help from the other umpire, but they won't get it. They might be trying to say he ran in the baseline, which would have absolutely no bearing whatsoever on the pitcher trying to cover. He was a little late getting there, just a hair late. And I think that enabled McCoy to get to first, and the run scores. So the Colt 45s are on the board. I'm not sure what the argument is. If he's saying that there was some kind of interference, maybe that's what they're saying. Maybe they're saying it was interfered with the runner, interfered with somebody, or he was inside the line. It wouldn't matter if he was inside the line because, quite frankly, he's safe. He's safe. They wanted to make sure that he wasn't saying he'd pulled his foot off or whatever. So they're giving the umpire a hard time now because he did something with his fist that made it look like an out. So it's a run. It's an infield hit from McCoy, I believe. I don't think they would have given him an error. Yeah, it's an infield hit. So pretty much a bunch of infield hits tonight. Could somebody hit one in a gap? Just somebody get a gap. Somebody have a line drive into the corner. And arguing this whole point is going to do absolutely nothing but help the Colt 45s. Because it's just at that point become sour grapes. They have action in the bullpen. Andy Baena comes up. And Baena, 0 for 3 tonight. He could use one of those. He takes his time. Pitcher already looking in for the sign. The batter's not even in the box. So Andy has to be aware of not being quick pitched here, and he's trying to stay in control. Steps in. Umpire still holding the pitcher for time. Now Baena is ready, and he's ready to go to work. Gilmore looks to first. Runner not going. Swings through the first pitch, 0-1. As I mentioned, Gilmore, a good ERA, under 3. This is his ninth appearance. He's thrown 19 innings for them and has a 2-2 record. Slide step, ball low and inside, 1-1. Third baseman is on the grass with two outs, thinking Baena may bunt, but Andy pulls one. That might help him get it through. Now he backs up a little bit. 1-1 count. Take his time. Get comfortable in that box. 1-1 pitch coming. Runner not going. Off speed, fouled off right side. Out of play, 1-2. So it was a pop-up that fell untouched. Ruled a hit in the infield that started it all. Then there were two outs. And McCoy beats out a slow roller to right. A little bit of argument from the other side, but we're going to win it. There's only two umpires, so you got no replay. 1-2 pitch coming, but the Colt 45s did get a run out of it. Now Baena hits a slow roller left side. The third baseman, Grant, fields and throws. Just did get Baena at first, and he can fly down that line. But the Colt 45s do get one run on two infield hits. They leave a man on base. But at least there's something on that board now heading to the top of the eighth, trailing 4-1. This is Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR.
Thanks for not calling the 800 number.
You've heard, don't call the 800 number. Instead, call your Dish Premier local retailer at 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Here's another reason why.
Susie C. with 5 stars writes, I can't say enough good things about Doug Tuohy and the exceptional service we've received from B&T Satellite. Doug is local, and that makes all the difference. The first time I met Doug, he patiently spent time with me to ensure I was comfortable using the equipment. In addition, Doug installed our sound system, so we have music indoors and outdoors when entertaining. When I have technical issues, I call Doug. He's dependable, professional, and has never let me down. I'm so glad we went to the local guy and not the 1-800 number.
B&T Satellite will take the time to listen to your needs and work with you to give you the best TV experience. Your local premier dish retailer. You owe it to yourself to not call the 800 number. Call 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Now, Colt 45 is trailing 4-1, and I must issue a correction on behalf of Faskings, who run the public address and all. I tease them and on the air give a hard time about playing the Boston Red Sox eighth inning song, Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline, which became a big deal for them. Well, they claim, Faskings claim, that they've been playing that song longer here than the Red Sox. I have no way to prove them wrong, nor do I need to, but they claim that it's been part of the repertoire for a long time. So I tip my cap, and I will continue to ask for Loudon Wainwright's Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road to be played. But right now, I think that we should just focus on baseball. Let our petty differences get behind us. Hopefully you're laughing along. That's the big left-hander Milligan's first pitch to Ogana was a strike, and now he hits the second one to short. Roop fields and throws. Out number one. So Milligan's has done what he's been asked to do since he got in there. Got a ground out to the first guy, so that one run did score. But he got a ground out. He came in with one out, and then got another ground out. Should have been out of that inning. Struck out a guy. So he's other than the walk issued last inning, he really has done his job. Now facing the right-handed batter, Posey. Impressive little middle infielder. Takes first pitch over for a strike. Acrobatic out there at short and second, where he's played these three games. Not both at the same time, although with his range, looks pretty close. 0-1 fastball high and tight, 1-1. He did score last inning. He reached on the fielder's choice, one of those errors. Checked his swing. Did he go? Nope. 2-1. But he did reach on that and then stole second. Eventually scored. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on. Blooped towards right field, and it falls in for a base hit. Whatever you get. That looks like a line drive in the box score, doesn't it? Just in front of Tanner Tweed, he would have been playing Little League outfield to get to it. That's just where it was hit. No chance for McCoy. So with one out, runner at first, Posey runs well. Taylor Burcham to the plate. Burcham's 0 for 3. Struck out in the second. He's grounded out to second twice since then. Nobody in the bullpen. Throw over to first. Posey's back. Posey has five steals for them now this summer. Big swing on that one behind on it. 0-1. Fans liked it. Colt 45's got one run back. They need to get out of this inning, get back to the plate. Big lead now. You had a runner picked off last inning, but it turned out to actually be a balk. That one's over for a strike, 0-2. Again, good lead, just near the edge of the cutout on the grass. Throw over, he's back in easily. AAA baseball tonight, Sacramento River Cats. Now bottom seven in Tacoma. Leading 5-4. If you didn't hear the great news, Connor Menez, Bill Plummer's grandson, going to start for the San Francisco Giants, the big club tomorrow. He'll make his major league debut after two excellent starting performances in a row. They've made a couple of moves, and one of them now is to bring the kid up. So we wish him well, and I know Bill will be there tomorrow night. Can't wait to keep an eye on that game from Oracle Park. Ball and two strikes to pitch against still a pretty big lead. He's now edges back. That one didn't miss by much. I don't know where that missed. Must have been a little low. 2-2. Dodgers wound up beating the Marlins. They're leading them now bottom 8-9-6. Kershaw was strong, but they finally got some runs in that game. Milwaukee beat Arizona 8-3. We'll run down some of these scores here. Angels are leading Seattle 6-2 top 9. Yankees over Colorado 11-5. Cubs edged San Diego 6-5. Now we have a payoff pitch coming. Milligan has the sign, working from the stretch. Runner's probably going to be going here, and he is. Off speed, it's strike three, I believe. Wait a minute. The throw down to second, was it a strike or a ball? Errors, it must have been a ball. How did? Well, that must have been high. I have no idea. That looked like strike three right down the middle. It wasn't. It was a ball, but then the throwing error by the catcher moves him over to second. Because even though it's a ball, it's still in play. So would have been good if maybe Ayers had been a little quicker or clearer with his ball call. I'm not sure, but wow, maybe physical mental error there too. Who knows? So, good lead at first for Burcham. Runner at third with one out. Now bloop towards right, coming in. Tweet makes the catch, trying to double him off first, and he does. He got it. Doubled him off first. Tweet has a gun out there. Brew made the stretch, and maybe that will bring the Colt 45s back to life. They sure did need that. A fly to right, and then 9-3 on the double play. That's a big one. Colt 45s now need to take advantage of it. As we go to the bottom of the eighth, they're trailing 4-1. This is Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
The new Christy Minstrels are returning to Redding's historic Cascade Theater August 3rd. This hit-making machine won Grammys and spawned the careers of Kenny Rogers and Kim Carnes. The new Christy Minstrels, Saturday, August 3rd at 7:30. Get tickets today to relive the heyday of the 60s popular folk trend with the new Christy Minstrels. 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
The Baffle and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Baffle and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
So Gilmore will face Julian Kodama, Peyton Edwards, and Tanner Tweet here in the eighth, and the crowd coming alive after that terrific double play turned, the fly ball to right field, and then Tweet was able to double off the runner at first. And the leadoff hitter, Kodama, big swing, fouls that one back. Dodgers leading 9-6 now. That one's in the bottom of the eighth, leading the Marlins. Angels in the top of the ninth, leading the Mariners in Seattle 6-2. Yankees crush the Rockies 11-5 today. Ambulance kind of gets the pitcher off his rubber there for a minute. Now he's climbing back on. There was that siren going off. Now here's Kodama awaiting the 0-1 pitch. Lefty on lefty. This is way outside, 1-1. For the Yankees, it was Tanaka getting his seventh win over Zenzatella. Arenado hit his 22nd home run. Cubs edge the Padres 6-5. Quintana over Lucchesi. Kimbrel got the save. Baez a three-run homer. That's when swung on by Kodama, hit high in the air left side. Down the left field line, it is a foul ball. And they gave it a long chase. The question was whether or not anybody would catch it. For the Padres, Tatis Jr. got a homer, as did Machado and Renfro, but they lost the game anyway. Mets got back at the Giants. 11-4 Lockett over Samardzija. Smith and McNeil and Frazier and Alonso hit his 33rd. Also, Dickerson and Yastrzemski homered for the Giants. Blue Jays beat the Tigers 7-5, fought over Soto, Giles, the save. Vlad Guerrero got a grand slam in that, his first of his career. 1-2 pitch, missed away, 2-2. Drury also homered for Toronto. Goodrum and Hicks homered for the Tigers in the loss. In 11, White Sox edged the Rays 2-1. Abreu got the go-ahead hit. Fry over Kolarik. Colomay got the save. Swung on, popped left side, again hooking. Will it be fair? Will it be caught? It is a foul ball. Couldn't come up with a catch, and it fell in foul territory. Julian will go the other way. He goes with the pitch where it's given to him. So hey, they need anything they can get going. A lot of fly balls tonight, though, as mentioned. This guy came in, and he got a pop-up and then a bunch of ground balls. Colt 45s did get a run off it. Red Sox beat the Orioles 17-6. Porcello over Eshelman. Bradley Jr., Devers, Betts, Leon all homered for Boston. Nunez and Santander homered for the Orioles. So Kadama has a 2-2 pitch coming. Gilmore looks in. Now he finally has the sign he wants. Catcher setting up outside. Breaking ball. Oh, wow. I don't know where that one missed, but Kadama can take it. It's 3-2. All of a sudden, and Blake Ayers' strike zone's gotten tight on both teams. Pirates 5-1 beat the Phillies. Musgrove over Effen. 3-2. That one missed. Line away. Ball four. They have action in their pen. Haven't been a lot of walks tonight for either team. And, in fact, that's the second walk drawn by the Colt 45s tonight. That brings up Peyton Edwards. Had the big hits last night. He was robbed of a hit to end the third on a diving catch by the center fielder. Let's see what he can do here. Bottom eight, running out of time. Kadama has good speed. Swung on, fouled off right side. Just kind of sawed him off into over near the bullpen. Reds beat the Cards 3-2. Garrett over Mikolas. Lorenzen got the save. Witters and Van Meter homered. Royals shut out the Indians 1-0. Yunus over Plutko. Kennedy the save. Dozier got a homer for Kansas City for the lone run. That pitch misses 1-1. Astros top the Rangers in Houston. Urquidy over Jurado. Chu homered for Texas. Gurriel and Kemp. That one's missing. Should be 2-1 now. Homered for Houston. A's edge the Twins 5-4. Khalil Davis got the two-run hit to give him the distance. Training over Rogers. Hendricks the save. Kana Laureano all homered for the A's. This one swung on. Hit deep to right, but nothing's carrying tonight. It's just a long out. Peyton hit it on the nose, but nothing. It is dead ball city out there. A one down, and it brings up Tanner Tweet. Peyton says something to Tanner as he passes him by. Tanner, of course, big things ahead for him at Sac City next year. They got to be frothing to know he's going to be healthy, and they have a great team there already. Pretty big lead at first, not going. Boy, he really took a cut at that first one and missed it. If he would have hit it, it might have been in Oregon when it landed. Okay, a couple other scores. Nationals beat the Braves 5-3. Sanchez over Soroka. Doolittle to save. Adams and McCann homered. One for each team. And the Brewers beat the Diamondbacks 8-3. The Moose, Moustakas, the go-ahead three-run homer in that one. Swung on. Hit sharply. Left center field. Will it carry? It's off the base of the wall at about 350. Round in third. Kodama will try to score. The crowd coming alive. He will stand. And an RBI double by Tanner Tweet has brought this crowd alive. Red Bluff Star delivered. If he did anything, he hit that ball too hard. For once, they've been hitting fly balls all night, and he hit that one a laser shot. About 350 feet out in left center by the Jack's Grill sign. And it brings up the right-handed hitter, Roop, who also is due. He walked and was thrown out by the catcher in the second, caught ceiling, and then grounded out and flew out. First pitch to the right-handed hitter inside, 1-0. So the Colt 45s got past Whitwright, and they've scratched out a couple off of Gilmore. They've got to string some together now. That's something they haven't been able to do the last couple of days. String them together. Roop awaits the 1-0. Swung on line towards left field. It's in for a hit. Rounding third. They're going to wave him. Coming in is Tanner Tweed. He'll stand. Roop going to try to get to second. He slides there, and he does. A back-to-back RBI doubles. Just what the doctor ordered. And now it's a 4-3 game. Your manager's going to come out. They'll make a pitching change. Colt 45's getting dialed in. Finally, instead of popping them up, they're starting to line them. And the big fellas that needed those hits, Tweet and Roop, delivered. Well done. Whatever Peyton Edwards told Tanner, it must have been true. They're going to take it. We're going to take a break as they bring in a new pitcher. We'll tell you all about him when we return. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
The new pitcher is Nick Marcantonado, 6'1", right-hander out of Clark Community College. Long, dark hair. Right-hander getting his warm-ups in. They got to Gilmore quickly. Hit him with a couple of big punches. And, boy, have they needed to string them together. Thank you for Brendan Roop for answering that call because, you know, we've had too many of these this entire series and really dating back to the last weekend, in fact, where it hasn't been able to put the big inning together. And it's not a big inning yet. But there's just one out. There's a man on second. And they've plated two to cut it to a one-run game. They have Chris Brew, who had the lamest hit of his career, probably in the seventh. It was a pop that everybody watched fall. They couldn't decide who was going to catch it. Hey, he'll take it. He wound up scoring the first run for the Colt 45, so it looks like a line drive in the box score. Christopher Wright takes the first pitch here for a ball from Marcantonados. Fans really came alive, and I love that. That's what you love about home baseball, about baseball in general. They've been waiting. They've been hanging, and they just come alive. Let's see if the Colt 45s can continue to answer. Marcantonados missing again, 2-0. So Chris Brew awaits. Let's see, they call this a hitter's count. Has the sign. Roops at second, good speed. Could score on a hit. Fastball, good cut for Brew. Maybe a little longer than he wanted. He missed it, 2-1. When Chris has that short, sweet swing, he generates power. And anybody will try to wind up sometimes and hit it a little bit further with a 2-0 count. Here's the 2-1 pitch. That's outside. I believe it's 3-1. We'll wait and see what the umpire. The scoreboard actually says 2-2. Let's see what Air says. And I guess I was wrong. It is a 2-2 count. I missed some. But that's all right. Man at second. 2-2 pitch.
Oh, he took a good one. It was just inside. As I said, Ayers is really tightened up.
Last weekend he had he threw out the head coach for another team who didn't like the tight strike zone late in the game. Now here's a payoff. 3-2. One out. Man on second. One run game. Swung on. Bouncer. Foul. Third base side. So Brew gets to swing another day. Not in the box yet, though. Marcondonados is ready to go. He's already looking in for the sign. Right-hander at the belt. Looks to second. Checks the batter. Now back to second. Now delivers. Fastball. Outside ball. Four. Brew draws the walk. So the potential go-ahead run here in the bottom of the eighth is at first base. The potential tying run is at second. Second walk of this inning. Still just one out. And Kyle Schrodel a chance to come up big. He has the only walk-off hit of the season for the Colt 45s. This wouldn't be walk-off, but boy, it'd be nice for him and for the team, obviously. He was robbed back in the fourth by their center fielder, Fletcher. Really impressive. Made a great catch up against the wall. Fletcher's robbed a couple of hits tonight. That was, I think, the biggest one because that came with a man on base in a scoreless game. Nick Waits, runner going for third. Snap throw. He's safe at third. No throw. So Roop caught him napping. Brew now at first. Roop at third. Brew not a big threat to go, though. You could be looking at delayed steal. You could be looking at who knows. With one out there, certainly not going to bunt here. Catcher calling whatever the play is. I would be surprised if they sent Brew, though sometimes you do that to try to just draw a throw. But I just think against a team like the Nighthawks, Portland, Northwest All-Star Nighthawks, I guess we should call them, they're good fundamentally. So, you know, give them that respect. He wasn't going. Schrodel took a big swing at the changeup, was way out in front, so it's 1-1. Whatever the play is, Biz says something to Roop. Brew has a decent lead. He's not going. They showed bunt. That was a safety, perhaps a safety squeeze. Schrodel, in that play, Roop is heading down the line, but not getting so far off he'll get picked off if Schrodel decides not to bunt. And that was the play, it's a bit of a conservative play, but it can kind of put things in motion. Check swing, it's low, he didn't go, 3-1. So it enables Schrodel to not have to bunt a bad pitch or swing at a bad pitch there. Now you got men on the corners, still one out, and a 3-1 count. Schrodel looks down to third, gets whatever the sign is. They both shake their heads. Now he's ready to get back in there. The 3-1 pitch, fastball, swung on, hit towards right. It could be deep enough. Martin under it. It's not super deep. They're going to test the arm of Martin. The throw down the line is down the line. The runner scores. The throw down to second to try to get Brew is into center, and it goes all the way through the center fielder. Brew's going to come around to score, and the Colt 45s have taken a 5-4 lead. It just got through, and the center fielder coming in to back up the plate. It went right by him, and Colt 45's finally got him something to cheer about. Wow, well done. Sacrifice fly and an RBI, and a good job by Schrodel. Scores the run. Throw was way up the line. The catcher sailed it to second when Brew was trying to advance, and that's when the errors began. And the E2 brought him all the way around to score. So the Colt 45s with four here in the bottom of the eighth lead it 5-4. And Nick Horsley looking for some insurance here fouls it back. Bases are now empty. The crowd, though, it was like a sudden shot of Red Bull or something. They got excited. And that's what you hear. That's why you stick around, folks. You just knew they were going to put an inning together.
couple of big hits, drew a big walk, and then that was just a good baseball at-bat for Schrodel. Horsley misses that one, strike two. There are two outs now. But, you know, when you're looking for a pitch out there, you do. You just want to get it up in the air and deep enough if you can't get a base hit. Not looking, the last thing he would want there is a ground out. And Schrodel delivered the sack. That started all that. That one's low, one and two. So now, with no action in the bullpen, Jordan Akins not here tonight. He's not, so you don't have him to turn to in relief. You do have the big, this is popped up right side, first baseman calling for it. We've seen this before. Burcham struggling with it, and it falls. That's going to be an error, though. There's no way they're going to give him a hit on that one. Burcham should have had that. He just lunged at the last minute. That has to be an error. They haven't ruled. They gave him a hit. Oh, home scoring is easy.
Now getting second baseman, Carter McCoy.
Either way, Horsley's at first, and now the wheels have fallen off for the young Nighthawks. Connor McCoy now comes to the plate. Eighth hitter of this inning. He's had three infield hits tonight. And really, it's pretty much all the Colt 45s had until those back-to-back doubles by Tweet and Roop that just ignited this inning. First pitch is a strike, 0-1 now. Checking the runner at first. Horsley not going anywhere. No sense. Fastball. Squibbler down the first baseline. Fair, fielded by the first baseman as he steps on the bag. And that will do that. Three unassisted. But the Colt 45s do get four runs on three hits. A sack fly and some aggressive base running helped. And they now have a 5-4 lead going to the ninth. Let's see if the big left-hander Milligan can shut the door and finish this one and earn the win. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, most of the fans stuck around, and they're glad they did because the Colt 45's got four runs in the bottom of the eighth now. It's up to Colby Milligan, a long time off. They do have some action out in the bullpen. I believe it's the big right-hander. And when I say big, you know I mean it's Jeff Cross. I believe that's him out there throwing. We'll find out if needed. Milligan will face their bottom third of their order. Carson Doyle, Luke Farah. Where's Doyle? He was batting. No, that was actually, no, there it is. Carson Doyle, Luke Farah, and Jeremy Martin. They're going to have a pinch hitter here. Milligan, the left-hander, completing his warm-up tosses.
Now batting for the Northwest Star Nighthawks, Campbell Dace.
You're going to have a pinch hitter. It'll be Campbell Dace, pinch hitter. So Dace was 0-for-4 last night. He didn't play the previous night. Right-handed batter. He's the gentleman who has what I would call, I think we should determine it not to be a mullet, not to be a man bun, but a ponytail that's sticking out of the back of his helmet. Just trying to describe the scenario for you. No judgment at all. But he's a big guy. They're looking for a bomber.
My first pitch from Milligan. Change up over for a strike. That's a good sign when a guy's been sitting over there for a while. The right-handed batter, Dace, awaits the 0-1 from the big lefty. That's a called strike. Pulled it to play for them, just based on their statistics online. He has just 4 hits. Right-handed batter, awaiting the 0-2 pitch. Change up inside, didn't miss by much, 1-2. The big left-hander came in the 6th inning to relieve Eamon Velarde, who deserved a better fate. That was just an ugly inning. There's a big changeup. Took something off the curve there. Now it's 2-2. And he's been effective. He's given up just 1 hit. And that wound up being erased on a great throw to first, a double off a runner by right fielder Tanner Tweet. That one misses now. After going 0-2, he's 3-2. The natives are restless. Looking in for the sign. Now Milligan rocks back and delivers. That one's a little high. Ball 4. And Dace hustles down to first.
Now batting Luke Farah.
So they have the potential tying run at first base and nobody out. And Barrett Fasken may not mess around here. Luke Farah due up. He's walked twice tonight. He's calling all in. Looks like he's going to go ahead and take the ball for Milligan. Milligan did a nice job, but that long ending may have just worn him out a little bit or just stiffened him up. Gets a nice hand from the crowd. We'll tell you about his replacement. His pitching change coming here in the top of the ninth. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
The new pitcher, the big right-hander out of Upland High School, pitches for Cal State San Bernardino. Wowing the crowd a little bit, throwing a warm-up toss back to the screen. I think that's a little Nuke LaLoosh thing. That's good. Puts a little fear in. Big 6'6 right-hander, throws hard, has more than one pitch. And he has come in and done the job for the Colt 45s. This is Cross's 7th relief appearance since joining him. 11 innings, he's allowed 10 hits. His ERA 4.09, but 2-0 with a save. Imperfect in save situations, thus. But he's just come in and given him a steady right-hander out of the pen. Had a good season, pitched in 7 games for the Coyotes at San Bernardino. Started 3 games. Overall, he was 1-3, but a good college ERA of 3.75, allowing only 19 hits in 24 innings. And against Pomona, Cal Poly Pomona, he allowed just 3 hits and 1 run. That was one of his better starts. Of course, was an all-league pitcher down at Upland. And the big right-hander comes in. With a man at first, nobody out, the 8-hitter due up in Luke Farah, and a 1-run lead to protect. Let's see what he can do with it. Cross bounces the first one up, stays in front of Horsley. Tried to slide step it a little bit. He's not happy with that, but he's got to keep his cool.
1-0. He just shorted the dart. Working from the stretch. Big right-hander. Not a big lead at first for Dace. Fastball bunted foul right side. So they're going to try to get him over. Martin due up next. And I'm not sure if that's who's going to bat. I don't believe it is. Looks like they've got a pinch hitter on deck. Oh, yep, it is, Martin. Excuse me. Bunting again. Again, foul. Brew was charging hard, as was Kodama. He's showing signs of bunting it on the right side. Now with 1-2, likely going to take that bunt off, but you never know. You still have to be prepared for it. Kodama deep at third. Depends on how good a bunter you are. If you fouled off, it's strike three. Here's a 1-2 pitch. Crosses, fastball fouled back. He's not bunting anymore. At first base is Dace. He drew a walk to chase the left-hander Milligan, who pitched well in relief. The 1-2 pitch coming. Swung on, blooped towards second, fielded, caught, trying to double him off first. He got him. It was just a soft liner to second. McCoy snagged it and got the double play, doubling off Dace at first. So they've had a couple of those here the last couple of innings that have really helped the cause for the Cole 45s. And brings up the left-handed hitting Jeremy Martin. Colt 45s now just need one more out from Big Jeff Cross. Martin's first pitch a ball to first pitch to Martin is a ball. He had an infield hit, eventually scored the game's first run in that inning that we would like to forget, the sixth, and we can forget it if they can hold on here. It's a good-looking fastball, just a hair low, 2-0. Little left-handed batter. Nine-hole hitter. Fastball, that one's over for strike two and one. Cross to... doesn't really show a whole lot of emotion until he gets you. Big wine. Fastball misses inside. 3-1. Jeff's just doing the job out there. Crowd cheering for it. Here's the 3-1 pitch. Fastball. Oh, it missed low. It was in the right area, just maybe getting a little too fine there, but it brings them to the top of their order. And Jack Fletcher. Fletcher's 0 for the day. Had a good sack back in the sixth. But last night he had 3 hits and 3 runs batted in. Didn't play the opening night. Right-handed batter. 2 outs. Man on first now. Fastball bounced towards short. Root fields it on the big hop. Throws, scooped by Brew. Out number 3. Game over. Hang a W for the Colt 45s. 5 runs, 8 hits, 5 errors, and a big 4-run 8 makes the difference. 4 runs, 3 hits, 3 errors for the Northwest Portland Star Nighthawks. Winning pitcher for tonight's game for the Colt 45s. Tip your cap in relief to Colby Milligan. Velarde deserved a better fate, but Jeff Cross earns his second save of the summer. We'll be back to recap the game and look ahead to tomorrow. Check those late final scores from baseball in the major leagues. In just a moment, you're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Hey, North State sports fans. This is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Me, Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State, but around the world in sports. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned, expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Well, you got to like that feel-good 5-4 final. Colt 45's rally for one in the seventh and four in the eighth to pull out the win. We'll recap in just a moment. Let's take a look at other scores out there. Good news from up in Tacoma. Sacramento winning 8-4. That's not over yet. They're leading 8-4. End of the eighth inning. They got three runs in the eighth. The good news coming out of there is Connor Menez, Bill Plummer's grandson's got the call up. He's due to start tomorrow in San Francisco for the Giants. So tip of the cap to him. We'll all be watching that and pulling for him. And Bill and his family will be down there to root him on and watch his grandson make his major league debut. That's a pretty cool story. We'll follow that as well. Big League Baseball. Got you most of the finals earlier. The ones that were still going on, let's take a look at those. Let's see. Most of them were complete earlier, as I mentioned. A's did win today. Giants did lose for you West Coast fans. Really, the only game you were waiting on finals were in L.A. and up in Seattle. Dodgers beat the Marlins 10-6 in that game. Beattie got the go-ahead home run in the eighth. They get a great start from Kershaw. He went six innings, just two hits, no runs, no earned runs, struck out 10, walked one, but then gave way to the bullpen. Whoops. Baez wound up getting the win. He blew the save, got the win. Hate that. That's a bummer. But in the end, the Dodgers did win, if you're a Dodgers fan. Baez over Hernandez, beating the Marlins. And then the other score, the last one up in Seattle. Are they done there? Yes, indeed they are. Trout had a three-run homer tonight. His 31st, ho-hum, right? Love watching that guy hit. It was Buttrey over Elias, 6-2 the final. Angels put four on the board in the ninth. So Colt 45 is not the only team that came up with some late-game heroics, and they needed it. Because they've just about given this game away like they did last night. Velarde pitched well, began to tire a little bit. Colt 45's put a couple balls in play, playing without Tyler Thompson tonight and Jacob Machuca out, both with nursing some injuries. So they wiggled their lineup a bit. A couple of balls hit hard, but a good defense for the Nighthawks kept them off the scoreboard. And in the sixth inning, somebody had to score eventually, I guess, and it happened to be the visitors. Jeremy Martin had an infield hit, and they sacked him over, and, well, there was a hit batter, a throwing error by the catcher, an error by the third baseman, an error by the pitcher. Came before those.
a stolen base, an error by the third baseman, and you see what happened before all that dust had settled. Four runs had scored, and it didn't feel good. And then the Colt 45s looked flat. They came out, went 1-2-3 down in the bottom, and I just wondered how they would respond. But respond they did. Velarde came out in the middle of that, of course, and those were unearned runs. So he did pitch really well, but stood to be the loser. And the Colt 45s finally came alive in the seventh when, with a little help from their friends, a little bit of a defensive meltdown for the Nighthawks. A pop that should have been caught by leadoff hitter Chris Brew fell for a hit. Everybody just kind of, you call it, I'll take it, and let's watch it fall. And Colt 45s, after a couple of outs, got an infield hit, and he was able to eventually come in and score. And it's just good luck for the Colt 45s. Eighth inning, though, is when the magic happened. A walk for Kodama, and then after Edwards hit a pretty good fly ball to center, he said something to his old Red Bluff High School mate, Tanner Tweet. Whatever he told him, Tweet must have listened, because he then doubled in that run to make it 4-2. Brendan Roop then came up, and he doubled in a run to make it 4-3, then stole third base. That was critical. Chris Brew walked with men on the corners. Kyle Schrodel, a good at-bat, got the sacrifice fly to right, scoring the run to tie it. But the catcher tried to throw out Brew at second when he tried to move up on the throw to the plate and threw it in the center field, and it went past the center fielder. The center fielder backing up the play wasn't in the right spot. And the Colt 45s had the win, the go-ahead run, as Brew came around to score. So 5-4, top of the ninth. They had to come up with a couple of good plays. They got a good defensive play in the eighth that I think may have also helped to spark them. With a man on third base, men on the corners, a fly ball to right was not deep enough to score the run by Grant to Tweet, but Bertram had wandered off of first. Well, Tweet has a gun out there in right field, and he saw that Bertram had wandered off, and so he doubled him off the first to end that inning, and that set the stage for the big bottom of the eighth. Then top of the ninth, a walk by Dace, the pinch hitter, and a soft liner by the next hitter, Farah, enabled them to then double Dace off first base. So, big, deep breath. The bouncer to short to end the game, and the save for the big right-hander, Cross, saving the victory in this contest for Colby Milligan, who pitched very well in relief. So you get to go home feeling good. It wasn't looking good there after that particular sixth inning. Colt 45s win it, as I mentioned. Final score tonight, once again, 5-4. We'll get you those runs and hits here in just a second. And the left on base. Colt 45s wound up leaving. They didn't have the back-to-back hits that they needed. But anyway, to recap the runs and hits for you, 5 runs, 8 hits, 5 errors. 4-3-3 for the Northwest Star Nighthawks, and I guess they have changed their name this year from when we originally put them on the schedule. They were listed as the Portland All-Stars when they were booked to be on the schedule, then the Portland Stars on their roster, and now they're calling them the Northwest Star Nighthawks. It's part of their summer league program. Either way, they're a good-looking team, and these same two teams will go at it again tomorrow, Game 4. The Colt 45s will look to take that four-game series, and they now improved to 19-17 on the season. Nighthawks fall to 15-13, but it so far has been a pretty good matchup. The Colt 45s will send the big kid, the freshman-to-be Peter Kronowski, out to the hill tomorrow to see if they can make it 3 out of 4 in this series. All right, well, that game will start at 6:15. Our broadcast on Sundays come your way at 6 o'clock with the pregame show. For my producer, Jerry King, I'm Brent Weber, thanking you for joining us tonight. The Colt 45s hanging a W at Tiger Field. I'm Brent Weber saying so long from Redding.
It's the first time such an order has been enforced in a California court. Last year, the California Supreme Court ruled that the defense in the gang case could have social media postings that were public at the time of the killings, but that ruling did not deal with private postings. Patrick Foss reporting.
Chevron says an 800,000-gallon oil spill in Central California that began in May may have started when crews tried to recap an abandoned well. The company says it believes the spill in Kern County west of Bakersfield stemmed from efforts to remove aging cement plugs from its non-producing wells and replace them. Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster.
In 30 seconds, enjoy. News Radio Studios in New York City. Fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. I'm on the road, WJBX Studios in Fort Myers, Florida, Bonita Springs to be specific. Tonight, I'm going to be hosting on stage for about a couple of hours in front of, about 600 people, hopefully people around here who care about America history. It's going to be America Great from the Start. Be able to go over Thomas Jefferson, the Tripoli Pirates, George Washington's Secret Six, Andrew Jackson, the Miracle of New Orleans, and my brand new book, Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers, which no one's heard anything about. It'll be a preview, as well as take your questions and have a chance to be on stage and talk about less politics, more about patriotism, because now we're in the middle of a war on history. BrianKilmeade.com/tour, a few tickets left. And tomorrow night, I'm driving myself, I choose that, right to Orlando, and I'm going to be doing the same show in Orlando, only a bit better. The thing they have in common is they're going to be streaming on the Fox Nation app, and that's part of my series. So I'm going to also weave in some of my series, What Made America Great, which is now up to 15 episodes. Busy day, but first things first, let's talk about the news, Big Three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
The leadership in Iran is back on their heels, literally, for the first time that I have ever seen. And what we need to do is not overreact, be patient, because the strategy we have in place is working.
General Jack Keane, the voice of reason. Take that. Iran's harassment and pirate-like behavior in the Gulf cost them a drone as U.S. Navy takes down that craft. This after Iran admits they took an unarmed civilian UAE vessel. The explanation, laughable. This is going to get ugly, maybe even within our show.
Number two.
You feel like you're doing a great job, right? Is that what you're saying?
We're doing our level best in a very...
What does that mean? What does that mean when a child can't take a shower? Come on, man. What's that about?
What's that about, Elijah Cummings? Why haven't you provided one bed for the 100,000-plus refugees arising every month over the last 6 months? Why haven't you provided humanitarian aid until last week? Why have you not amended any asylum laws? Why have you done nothing where you used to do something back in 2014 when we had a different president? That is infuriating.
Number one.
And I started speaking very quickly, but it started up rather fast. It really was a loud... I disagree with it, by the way, but it was quite a chant. I felt a little bit badly about it. I was not happy with it.
There you go. The President of the United States explaining the chant that happened during his event, which was a raucous event. Send her back. Now there's a big fixation of all the presidential foes on the send her back. The president calls out the Dems for letting four radical freshmen of their policies steal the party platform, has not stopped, and they'll hammer the president for an impromptu send her back chant, which he didn't start and maybe wasn't quick enough to stop. But you give 18,000 people a chance to react when you're talking extemporaneously from the stage. The president, I thought, did the right thing in walking it back. Geraldo Rivera joins us now. Geraldo, you think he did the right thing yesterday saying what he said?
I think that
thank God, Brian. First of all, I'm a big fan of your books. The Tripoli book was especially exciting. It was almost like I was flashed back to the end of the 18th century. And
You love anything nautical.
Yes, I certainly do. And fighting the Tripoli pirates is a forgotten chapter in American history. And anyway, the fact that you packed those places doesn't surprise me either. Thank God the president walked it back. It was an awful, embarrassing, sad chapter. The crowd, the send her back chant, I think that they were taking their cue from the president's tweets. I think that he should regret them. I'm so glad that he's distanced himself. Anyone who loves this president should never, ever go there again, because what you do is you make him look bad. You make him look nativist, xenophobic, even racist. It's a bad place for anyone to go, a bad place for the president to be. You know, he's the glue that holds the pluribus unum together. You know, out of many, one. He's got to be the common denominator. We get one president at a time. And, you know, this trying to distinguish people from their national origin or their ethnic roots, right. I think is dangerous.
But one thing I think is correct. I think that if they're going to get all the publicity for the party, if they're going to be calling the leadership and indicate that Nancy Pelosi is racist, tell moderates they're segregationists, the president is right politically to say, okay, if you want to be the face, I'll make you the face. And unless the Democrats are going to push back, they are going to be the face of the party. And guess what happened? They are now unifying behind these four radicals. Now, I know you respect people that want to make a difference. I understand that. I do, too. But the way in which they're doing it, if they were representing me or Fox, I'd say, excuse me, they may be charismatic and they may be headstrong. I don't want them representing what I represent. And the president is right to bring them forward and make the Democrats either get behind them or push them aside.
I want to be very clear that I want to distinguish between politics and patriotism, because they're very, very different. Politically, you're absolutely right. It is genius for the president to describe all Democrats by the policies of the four radical, most left-wing members of the Democratic caucus. I think that's brilliant politics. Show the American people that these ideas they have, the socialism, communism, you know, redistributing the wealth and, you know, turning the country upside down and all these giveaways and all the rest. Show how impractical, implausible all that is, and you can't vote for a Democrat as a result. That's politics. That's great. But patriotism is different. You cannot go to the place where the send me back, send her back chants were going. That kind of making a division between people who are one ethnicity or one race and others and who come from, maybe their grandparents came from some place, is very dangerous in a nation of immigrants. I'm sure the president has learned from this mistake. Ivanka is on his case. I'm on his case. And I think that it's good for everybody that he's moved on.
But I mean, the way, you know, Geraldo, what's crazy is that, you know, when I travel, I watch other morning shows on purpose to find out what else is going on. And I'm just amazed. Everybody acts like this happens every 3 or 4 weeks. You put on these other channels and it acts as if the world's going to end. He's ill-equipped to be president. This country will never be the same. We will never be the same. We're going to have an impeachment. He lied. He teamed with the Russians. He's using this job to make his business better. He's insane. He might have been, you know, the Alzheimer's runs in his family. I mean, I'm amazed at what goes on in these other channels. There's no gray. There's no deliberation. There is worst ever. You'll never say anything like it. And guess what? His approval goes between 45 and you know, if you look at Rasmussen, 48. His crowds are getting bigger. The money is over $100 million spent. I don't love his tweets. I said it. On Sunday. But when he talked about this sentiment of when people criticize our country over and over again and they represent it, their anti-Israel remarks, those shrugging off Al-Qaeda, that needs to be called out. And I just wonder where their patriotism is, because I don't hear a lot of I love this country. And if I'm running against that, I'm bringing that out.
I think that you're absolutely right in terms of the press the president gets from the vast majority in the mainstream media. He is the worst press of any president, including Richard Nixon. Everything he does or says is construed in the most evil way possible. There is exaggeration. Look, in the front page of the New York Times today, there's a story. I'm surprised they put it on the front page. Federal prosecutors signaling that it is unlikely they will file additional charges in the hush money investigation that ensnared members of Donald Trump's inner circle. In other words, Stormy Daniels has come and gone, and the president will not now or ever be charged with anything having to do with Stormy Daniels. Where will you see this anyplace but on Fox News?
Nowhere.
They made a living out of Michael Avenatti, the corrupt lawyer, putting him on every day, all day long. Stormy Daniels, Karen McDougal, on and on and on about the president. And now, P.S., there's not going to be any charges against the president. So never mind. They move on to the next thing. It is appalling how unfairly he is treated. But that also means that he's got to be a little more – I mean, I wish that I could volunteer to be his tweet editor-in-chief. Just send them to me first, and then I could send them on to the – you know, just – it's so easy. The 3 a.m. stuff, I recognize it from a mile away.
Gotcha. Geraldo, what's going on at the border? I know you've been there. You were probably there 6 months ago. Those people work as hard as anybody in this country. And Elijah Cummings, who was on our Big Three, I don't want to take time away from you and roll a long soundbite, but he is screaming at McElhaney to take care of kids better, making up stories that are just sitting in their own excrement, where he did not go to the border. We can't find any record that he went to the border himself ever. These facilities were built in 2014. They have been unable. They had to squeeze through aid that was 6 months late. They refused to give him beds in the last budget. They protested the company that were going to sell beds, and they're screaming at Kevin McElhaney for how he treats children when you know these law enforcement officials are caring for kids while they're sitting there in uniform and badges, grabbing Cubans with one hand and holding infants with the other. These people need to be lauded and financed. Instead, they're being blistered. Isn't this intolerable?
I absolutely, again, agree with you. How can you go back to the four horsewomen of the resistance?
Yep.
Here they go to the border and complain bitterly and with impassioned rhetoric about how horrible everything is. And then they vote against the $4.6 billion aid package that was designed to correct exactly the inhumanity they were complaining about. The Democrats can't have it both ways. We have been subjected to an unprecedented and extraordinary wave of humanity coming through our southern border. You know, I have a much higher regard for these undocumented immigrants than many of our colleagues. I think that it is natural when you come from the poorest place in the hemisphere, you want to get someplace where you want the American dream, you want your kids to have a better life and so forth. I don't fault them, but it is not the fault of the Border Patrol that 100,000 people per month are showing up. It is not the fault of the Border Patrol that these facilities designed for hundreds are having to house thousands. You can't fault the frontline folk for trying their best to manage an unmanageable crisis. What has to happen is we have to stop the flow. We have to get order on the border. Even people who want the most compassionate, open-minded world for the people who are here without documentation, even us, we understand that there has to be order on the border. People are dying because they're coming across every which way from Sunday, the coyotes, the drowning. This is an unprecedented and extraordinary thing. This is a time that cries for bipartisanship.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. Now Schumer's going to go down to the border. He's going to find the overcrowded situation that they actually called. They said, can you guys come down to the border and show us how bad it is? Could you cover it? So I went down and covered it. They wanted those pictures out. Now, Democrats are showing those pictures and saying, look at what they're hiding. 60 Minutes did it 2 weeks before I did it. Then I went down there, we did five pieces on it. And then they said, I begged them, I said, do you mind if I go inside and without showing their faces, shoot the screens? And there's just nowhere to put these people. And I've used this analogy before. I could be in a I could own a Four Seasons that could take 300 people. If I put 20,000 in the Four Seasons, it would be unlivable within a week. It doesn't mean the Four Seasons is a bad hotel. And yet these people aren't hospitality experts, and they're forced to take in 100,000 a month. Are you kidding? And are you going to yell at them?
It's awful. It's awful. But we need my goodness, if ever we needed comprehensive immigration reform, we need it now. I mean,
I'll take four or five asylum fixes. We know what they are. And then the winner, if Trump wins, go at it right away. That'll be the opportunity, because I think both sides realize what you just said. Geraldo, I look forward to seeing you all over the channel.
Okay, brother. I'll see you later.
Thanks a lot. Geraldo Rivera joining us. He was in New York City. I'm actually here in Fort Myers. When we come back, I'll be able to take some calls for the first time. 1-866-408-7669. On the road. Tonight I'm going to be doing America Great from the Start on your Fox Nation app. If you don't have it, get it. And if you have it, you're normally watching the show streamed. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Giving you everything you need to know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-470-2136. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-470-2136. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-470-2136. That's 800-470-2136.
Are you tired of the nightmare of trading in a market that feels rigged? Don't you just want to see your account balance grow and not feel so anxious about every single trade? Well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. The Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. If consistent weekly income and spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, then you've got to check out this real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about this. Even if you've been lazy and unlucky in the past, let me prove to you how the Money Press will work for you. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
This is Fox on Justice. If you are accused of a crime, you have a right to a trial to determine your guilt or innocence. At least, that's how it's supposed to work. But it rarely does. Last year, nearly 80,000 people were defendants in a federal criminal case, but only 2% actually went to trial. That's according to the Pew Research Center. As for everyone else, 90% pleaded guilty, while 8% had their cases dismissed. The numbers are low no matter what the crime. For instance, there were only 89 trials for immigration offenses out of more than 25,000 cases. Trial rate numbers in state courts are harder to come by, but are also generally low. There are no definitive reasons why. Court backlogs, of course, play a role. The National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers claims that there is a trial penalty, that defendants are pushed to plead guilty because they could face a much longer sentence if they go to trial and are convicted. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
In the heat of night, I've got trouble.
In the
Heat of the Night is a TV series based on the motion picture of the same title. It starred Carol O'Connor as William Gillespie and Howard Rollins as Virgil Tibbs, who was pursued by the city government to join the police department to make it more diverse. The series originally ran on NBC for 5 seasons, premiering in 1988. Then it was picked up by CBS for 2 more seasons until its end in 1994.
In the heat.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In January of 1960, John F. Kennedy announced that he would seek the presidency of the United States, which he won on November 8, 1960, in a narrow victory over Richard Nixon. At 43, he became the youngest U.S. president.
In the past 40 months, I have toured every state in the Union, and I have talked to Democrats in all walks of life. My candidacy is therefore based on the conviction that I can win both the nomination and the election. I believe that the Democratic Party has a historic function to perform in the winning of the 1960 election, comparable to the 1932 election. I intend to do my utmost to see that that victory is won.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. This 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
I would welcome the opportunity to travel with you to the border and to see our men and women and how hard they are working to care for children. Border Patrol agents holding children that were not their own, brought across by smugglers, putting formula in baby bottles together.
That is Kevin McElhinney defending himself for how hard they work. And if you saw these Border Patrol men and women in action, you would be as offended as I am about the way Kevin was treated yesterday, especially him. The guy's got the face of Joe Friday. He does not buckle, but to me, I would have loved to see a little Tom Holman emotion blasting back at Elijah Cummings for his theatrics. Scott, listening online in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Scott.
Morning, Brian. Hey, my question is exactly what you're talking about. This guy's been blasted by these hypocrites that created the problem, refused to do anything about it. Now they want him to take the heat for it. They won't go down to the border when they're invited. Refuse, not just on this point, but, I mean, months ago they've been asked several times to go down. They won't go down with Republicans because they know that they would get their, butts handed to them. But why now are the Republicans, knowing that the Democrats are going down there next week, why aren't they just booking tickets left and right, saying, you know what, you're going down there, great. Dare you to cancel. We're coming down with you.
And see what they say. And, you know, get Kevin McElhinney is back at the border today. Schumer, and this is what you're talking about, Scott. Schumer is leading a Democrat border visit. The same Democrats that turned down Lindsey Graham's invitation to join him last week, this week he's going. He said he and other congressional Democrats will travel to the southern border this weekend to investigate, inspect, and evaluate the latest conditions at the facilities. They wouldn't even take a vote. They wouldn't even finance. They financed reluctantly 2 weeks ago. And now, after refusing a trip, now they're going to go down there. Guess what they're going to say? Bad conditions. And guess who they're going to blame? Donald Trump. And they're going to say that's what he wants because he doesn't like immigrants or Hispanics. We've seen this game. We've seen this song sheet. Thanks for the call. Joe, listening in Tennessee. Joe.
Good morning, Brian Kilmeade. How are you today?
Good. In Tennessee, you're talking about a congresswoman from Minnesota?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you better believe I am. You know, after all the big dust-up with the chant, which I thought was great, I enjoyed the chant, and I was laughing. I'm like, listen to that. You know, yeah. You know, I'll tell you a story. I met an immigrant who was coming into our country, and he had nothing but bad to say about how much money and how long it took and this and that and this and that. And by the time he got done his little spiel, I looked right at him in his face and I told him, I said, if you're going to come over here and badmouth my country because things aren't going your way.
Joe, I hear you. The only thing is, just don't say go home. What you say is, listen, get behind us, or you could go anywhere else you want, but just go home was a red hot issue.
Favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Red is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Well, yeller is swiller for this little feller.
And me, I'm keen on green.
So what's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like
what's
this.
Your favorite color? Tell us, please. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. Save the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Go, Caleb! Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. Didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Yankee great Casey Stengel and Mickey Mantle testified before the Senate Antitrust and Monopoly Subcommittee hearing on baseball.
I was asking you, sir, why it is that baseball wants this bill passed.
I would say I wouldn't know, but I would say the reason why they'd want it passed is to keep baseball going as the highest baseball sport that has gone into baseball, and from the baseball angle. I'm not going to speak of any other sport. I'm not in here to argue about other sports. I'm in the baseball business. It's been run cleaner than any baseball business that was ever put out in the 100 years at the present time.
Well, Mr. Mantle, do you have any observations with reference to the applicability of the antitrust laws to baseball?
My views are just about the same as Casey's.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A Minnesota woman who helped save the life of a firefighter makes today's Dean's List. Becca Bundy's young daughter had a seizure at home a couple of years ago. Volunteer firefighter Bill Cox was the first to arrive. The two met again when Becca went to a benefit for a neighbor. He was wearing a t-shirt that said, "My name is Bill. I'm an end-stage kidney failure and in need of a kidney." Becca said she knew she was the one. and had to do it. They talked for a little bit and realized she had the same blood type. Testing proved that Becca was indeed a match. She called him with the news as soon as she found out. The surgery took place in February, and a few months later, the 66-year-old is free from dialysis and resuming his retirement in his lake home he shares with his wife, Terry. Before the surgery, Bill carved a wooden angel for Becca and painted it in her favorite color. Becca and Bill, you are both amazing people. God bless you and your families. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Information you want, truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, we're back. Oh, one of my favorite all-time guests, because he has no agenda. He just wants to educate you, and he's endlessly curious. Dr. Drew Pinsky, if you're smart enough to be watching Fox Nation, is here. Board-certified addiction medicine specialist, host of KABC Midday Live Show, and we're on WABC here in New York, so you're still okay. And host of This Life, hashtag You Live podcast.
You can stop. It's all right, Brian. It's a bunch of podcasts. Dr.com is where you go.
And also co-host of Adam and Dr. Drew, it's Adam Carolla.
I was just thinking, after having a lovely conversation with the congressman, I was just thinking, so what am I going to say in the show today that I'm going to regret? It's going to end up being a Twitter
storm. Make news, right?
Something goes just completely haywire just by talking to you, Brian. So thank you for making my life enhancing my life? Or
put it this way: do you mind? Has anyone popped in? You thought, well, that's not really what I meant.
Oh, always, always, and I mind it because I'm intending to do good and help. You know what I mean? I'm not being partisan. I'm not being.
No, I know.
I political. I'm just trying to make life better for people.
Well, I will tell you that. I'm trying to get I go to one of these Fox and Friends meetings because we talk about the homeless situation, Tucker Carlson all over the homeless situation.
But
you have a point of view on that.
Well,
and people think it's because people can't find housing.
No, it's a hoax, Brian. It is a housing hoax, and I keep screaming about this on my 7-9 a.m. show in Los Angeles. It is a hoax, and the politicians will not get off their I don't know why they're preoccupied. As it is, we have 60,000 people on the streets of Los Angeles, 60,000, all of whom defecate and bleed and urinate right into the gutter system that goes immediately into the LA River. And all of our beaches have been essentially condemned lately. Imagine if a town of 60,000 was suddenly disconnected from the sewage treatment program. The environmentalists would go insane. No one is discussing that. No one is discussing the fact that the majority of patients, excuse me, because I know these people well. I've treated them for many, many years. People on the streets, which are my patients. I know these folks. Are addicted with mental health, and they will not go into housing. They will not do it. It's a housing hoax. And they're claiming our city, the officials are saying this is going to cost $50,000, $500,000 per single person unit. Impossible to house 60,000 people at that rate. We have a humanitarian catastrophe on our streets. And you know what I would cause the crap storm last time when I was here. I started talking about the infectious diseases being rodent-borne because the rodents have overrun our city.
Right.
So I'm not going to repeat that, or maybe I will.
Maybe you did.
Maybe Brian will make me. You'll make me say something again.
Well, I mean, that is the truth. So we hear, well, the housing's so high and the taxes are so high.
Stop it. I cannot. Well, the taxes and regulations are so high, which is why it's $500,000 per unit to build on behalf of these people. But it's a hoax. It's a hoax, and they continue to perpetrate it. And it's making me furious.
I don't
understand why. And in the meantime, we have 1,000 dead so far in 2019. So my question to my politicians and to the ACLU, who keeps mandating that the politicians and the law enforcement can't touch these folks, how many must die? How many? What's your number? 1,200, 1,400, 20,000? How many must die on our street before you, damn it, change your position? Change how you do this.
Well, I'll tell you what. The bigger picture, because I can get in the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You have a situation
Jesus,
where people
Brian,
think
you, did to me.
You have a no. But your passion, you because you know why? Because you know you have the solution.
That's
the problem.
That
it's not that big of a mystery to you. But I want to bring this. You have a governor who looks the part,
of a president, as if you're going to cast him. Mm-hmm. He looks the part of a governor. Mm-hmm. He says, basically, society is too, there's too much income disparity. Therefore, there's so many poor in the streets because the rich have done so well. And I, by the way, it's time to open up the border and have a big heart for other countries.
Let me flip it around, Brian. What we have done in Los Angeles, and by the way, I have no position on this. We have declared ourselves a sanctuary city. We have welcomed in about 1.5 million undocumented.
Can I declare a position? It's stupid.
Let me just finish the argument, okay, though. About 1.5 million undocumented immigrants, however you want to characterize them, right? Would you say it's a fair number to?
Yeah.
Okay. So 1.5 million people.
I think it's more.
Okay. Let's say 1.5 for the sake of argument. In the last two years. And by the way, I worked in the county hospital for many years. I was there during the El Salvadorian Civil War, and I saw what was coming up. It was awful, and we had to do something. I'm sympathetic. Let's put it that way. I'm a physician. I'm a humanitarian. So we got to do something. So we got 1.5 million. We've absorbed people, 1.5 million people into the city of Los Angeles without a job, without a family, without a place to live, without a country, without a penny, and all of them found a place to live. They are not on the street. How come they're not on the street?
I don't know.
Because it's not a housing problem. It's not. That's proof. It's not a housing problem. It's the mentally ill and the addicted on the street. Mm-hmm. And if you don't change the definition of gravely disabled and don't expand conservatorships and don't create more psychiatric beds and services, this is not going to change.
So I thought this conventional theory was things will change when rich, affluent people they start infringing on their life. And it is.
Well,
and in Orange County, they're everywhere.
It's all over the place. But it is, and what's happening is people are waking up to what's going on here, and they're furious, and it's really getting out of hand what's happening on the streets of Los Angeles, and they're angry, and they're holding their politicians accountable for this. That's what's happening. Yeah. And here's what they're doing. Maintaining the housing hoax and nothing else.
So I don't want to get you into politics because it doesn't benefit you, but I will say Gavin Newsom gave an interview a couple of weeks ago, at which time he said California is ahead of the rest of the country.
In terms of what? Donald Trump,
and he says that because he says that there
is utopia in California, Brian. Don't you understand? It's utopia with people dying on the streets sewage spilling into our ocean. I can't let my kids go in the water.
In terms of green technology, in terms of taxes.
We lead on that.
What else did he say that he's good at?
And we get so much for it.
Open borders and having compassion.
And fine. You open the borders. We got 1.5 million in. They found a place to live. Stop talking about the housing. Stop it.
Dr. Drew.
It's insulting.
I will. I'm going to add something else to this. I would say that you open up your borders. I think people's got to start thinking of a choice. You want to have a big heart, you care about people, that's fantastic. Well, who do you care about more? Americans in need?
Well,
or people from other countries
Brian,
in need who are circumventing the process?
To your point, there's a different interpretation of my logic here as it pertains to the 1.5 million that found housing. Perhaps that 1.5 million pushed people out onto the streets. Perhaps they took the housing that caused people to go out onto the streets. That's a possibility.
That is a great possibility.
And so either way, you pick your poison. Either it's a hoax or they push people onto the street. Which is it, Mr. Newsom?
I know
which
that.
Is it? And how many must die?
Right.
How many before you shut up on this?
Right. And I would add this to this conversation.
God, this makes me angry.
I know it does because
people are suffering and dying, and no one is talking about what the facts are. And in the meantime, what I was talking about last time is that it's starting to endanger the general population, not just because of the crime, but because of the infectious diseases that are going to. I just see a catastrophe from an infectious disease standpoint.
Well, let me tell you politically what it's doing. It's causing a lot of people to leave.
Oh, yeah, especially in the middle, because you can't afford to live there. So you're going to have only the very rich and the very poor in California.
And guess where they're going?
I know where they're going. They're going to Nevada, Arizona, Texas, and Tennessee. That's where they're going. But mostly Nevada and Arizona.
And for the most part, there are a lot of Democrats. And they're turning a lot of those red states blue. Even though they should come out and be less than converted.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Because they say a lot of the policies that happened that ruined their city and destroyed their lifestyle, why would you bring them with you?
It's bizarre, isn't it?
But they are, and it is changing things.
It's bizarre. It's really bizarre how humans will cling to an ideology even when people are literally dying in front of them. The evidence is so overwhelming that the ideologies, there's something wrong. It's okay. Just change direction. That's all I want you to do. Just change it so you help the people. That's all I want.
We're talking about race a lot in this country more than...
What? Really?
I haven't noticed. Can you imagine a 24-hour news network in the 60s?
Yeah.
You know, with MLK, RFK, mm-hmm. JFK, the race riots, Vietnam. Yeah. I mean, since you can't get your head around it, it's hard to keep up with in today's textbooks, let alone breaking news.
Yeah.
So listen to the president yesterday, cut two.
If you're not happy here... then you can leave. As far as I'm concerned, if you hate our country, if you're not happy in the U.S., if you're complaining all the time, very simply, you can leave. You can leave right now. Come back if you want. Don't come back. It's okay, too. But if you're not happy, you can leave.
Being interpreted, if you look at the tweets, him telling that to four minorities, Hispanic, Palestinian, and a Somalian and African-American. How dare you say that, Mr. President, to go back and leave, get out of this country. We're a nation of immigrants. Why are you saying that? What he's responded to is he thinks that they are speaking a lot about our country, always in a disparaging way. So he's saying leave. Who's right here?
Well, he said leave, fix that other place.
In his tweet.
And then come back and tell us how you did it. So that's a reasonable construct. The problem is the headline has a racist structure to it. It just does.
It does.
It just does.
But do you know how? But do you know him a little?
I don't. But there's a book now called The Method to the Madness. Who a journalist went out and interviewed all the people that worked with him over the years, both in the television and the construction, and everything else. And a really interesting sort of thing is emerging, as sort of a construct of how he works and stuff. And it fit my understanding of what he seems to be doing, which is very strategic and very persuasion-oriented. And you notice, what was the big preoccupation this weekend before he made that tweet? Last weekend, what was the big preoccupation? Can you remember what people's hair were on fire about?
They were talking about the border.
No. The ICE raids.
Yeah. The ICE raids.
Yeah, went away. It went away. You can't even remember what it was. So I have a feeling that this may have been strategic in an attempt to sort of...
Well, I think the better strategy would be this.
Strategy? I could never withstand. To me, it doesn't make sense.
I wouldn't do it.
In terms of rationality, but in terms of efficacy, it did it.
Well, you know what the rationality is? The rationality is, and this is was pointed out by Katie Pavlich, and she said to me, I was on the couch yesterday, not on a couch like yours, but on the couch and outnumbered, Dr. Drew, and she said... What did he just do? Nancy Pelosi was separating herself from the squad.
He drove them back in.
He drove them back in.
Yeah, and that's the other thing he did. He drove the Democrats back to the squad that was not representing the general Democratic populace. I agree with you. It was two things. Now, I don't know if that was instinctive on his part or premeditated, but think about that. That's crazy good outcome in terms of what he intended.
Now I know why Adam Carolla loves working with you and vice versa, because he seems to start a show in the vicinity of what he wants, and it just turns into a great show. This was the vicinity of what I wanted to talk to. I ended up with a much better segment than I ever could imagine.
Let me tell you, I always love talking history with you. So let me go back to that book, The Method to His Madness. I talked to the author yesterday, and he started saying that
who is that author?
I can't believe. Can you help us out with this? You'll tell me. In any event, he was saying that one of the big things was this ability to master new media, right? Which here we are talking about tweets and things, right?
70-year-old master new media. It's crazy.
And he talked about the guy that taught him Twitter and how he broke away and started doing it on his own and how they were sort of astonished by it and this sort of stuff. And he said any president that has done – he said something like, you know, the presidents that have done that have always been extremely is upended everything. And I said, you know who the first one to really do it with the press was? Can you think who the president really did something very bizarre with the press that no one had ever done before? He did it before he was president. He did it when he was police commissioner of this city of New York.
Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt. He set his office up across the street from the press and would have them in his office on a regular basis. And the world was, what? Oh, yeah, you talk to the press? How could you? What, you're making friends with them? And he just owned them. For the rest of his career.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
And he's still the most written about, colorful, because we had so much written about him, and he was colorful.
Colorful. He was nutty. super nutty. He's one of my favorite presidents. I don't think I would have been a fan if I ran in 1901 because he was manic. Right. He was narcissistic. He was all these things that we get critical about.
Allison, you see, here's a psychologist who doesn't like somebody because they're super nutty.
Not just tolerant. I love this. Because look, these are human beings when the day is done. And we all have certain weaknesses and strengths, and we can put labels to them or whatever. For me, what I love about it is history is so damn complicated that I don't know whether somebody with certain things are good or better or worse for history. It's too complicated. Too many variables.
I just know for sure. I was growing up. I was in high school when Reagan was president, and everyone went out of their way to say I was out of touch. He was dumb. He was his policies didn't work. And now all of a sudden we named airports out of him, and everyone aspires to be him. Even Democrats like Barack Obama talked about how he persuaded him.
You and I are both Lincolnophiles. At the end of the Civil War, lots of people thought, I hope they don't, saint this guy because he was no good as a president.
Alan Salkin and Aaron Short.
That's him, Salkin.
Okay. Back in a moment with Dr. Drew, if I can calm him down.
Don't go anywhere because you never know who might call in during an interview on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Senator Lindsey Graham in the background, he's talking to the president. We are, Senator. Yeah.
Sorry.
Senator, I appreciate it. I won over the president. This is the one time.
He said, hey, Brian, he'll do your show.
Yeah. Okay, that's good enough for us.
This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, phones, life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds, for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you got to say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou!
He's like you. 800-511-3535. That's 800-511-3535.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta.
800-511-3535. Write it down.
800-511-3535.
Non-attorney spokesperson, ad sponsored by OpenJar Concepts. Attention veterans and active duty military. If you were issued earplugs between 2002 and 2016 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-303-5053 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-303-5053. Again, 800-303-5053. That's 800-303-5053.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us. In fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Kilmeade. Dr. Drew, I got a couple more minutes with you here. Dr. Drew, when are we going to see you on television again? Are you going on with Cofell?
Yeah, I'm going to do his Fox Nation show today.
Okay.
And I'm going to do the five tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to be?
I don't know. Oh, well, I think it's just an interview or something, which I've never seen them do.
Oh,
do they
wow. They do on important people. Like
okay,
you.
All right. So
that's great.
There we go. But I will not have so much fun as I do here. So.
All right, fantastic.
Hey, you know, my favorite thing I told you is to talk history with you. That's my favorite thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you know I have
a new book. I know.
Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers coming out.
I know.
So we did a whole hour special on it. You'll see in a little while. And I was able to have, we have six more Fox Nation features, basically 30-minute documentaries arriving. One of which, one of the most fascinating people that you don't know, is William Casey.
Hmm.
And William Casey is a guy that worked to bring down the Nazi Germany, and then he helps rebuild with the Marshall Plan, and then he comes back and works with Reagan with the CIA, and then he works with the Pope to take down the Soviet Union.
Didn't he write a book? I think I read his book. He wrote a book about all the different presidents and cabinets that he sat in and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think I read that book. Yeah. I read the book, yeah.
And
years ago.
His house is for sale.
Oh.
And they said, would you come and do a feature? I go, yeah, I'll talk about him. The more I read about him, the more fascinating.
He has insight. And he didn't – some of the stuff he was reporting in that book, some people were getting mentally ill in the cabinetry of during the Second World War and stuff. He described – what was the guy that created the Marines? That guy started having some really serious problems.
Right.
And so he just documents what he saw, particularly during the Johnson administration, right? He was involved then, too.
He was now with Johnson, but with Nixon.
Nixon. Yeah.
So it turns out he helps bring down, and then, of course, he gets caught up in Iran-Contra, and he takes the blame. He gets his hemorrhage. He gives the interview to Bob Woodward that the family still believes he didn't give, and he dies in a mystery.
Wow.
And in his house, which is on the water, which all this fascinating thing has happened. Reagan came there on his funeral and walked through the house. There sits on Long Island an eagle. From the day he died, an eagle sits on his property.
What?
And I'm from Long Island. I have not seen an eagle ever. A bald eagle sits on Long Island.
And by the way, now bald eagles have had a resurgence. They're on the eastern seaboard and stuff. Then, which would have been how long ago when he died?
He died in probably, let me see, I graduated in 86. He probably died in 88, 89.
Unheard of to see a bald eagle then.
Yeah.
And anywhere.
By the way, nest is still there. The bald eagle's still there. How crazy is that? So that's one of the features, Mount Vernon also. You have George Washington had a chance to do a close at his casket. In 1830, they moved his casket. It came open. He looked like the day he died.
That happened at Lincoln, too, before they sealed him in. Remember,
really?
he was they kept trying to steal his body. You know the whole story?
Dr. Drew, thanks so much.
You got it.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips. With the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced. Free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply. Absolutely free. Call 1-800-394-4915. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-394-4915. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-394-4915. 1-800-394-4915.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1968. President Lyndon Johnson.
It is true that a house divided against itself is a house that cannot stand. I have concluded that I should not permit the presidents to become involved in the partisan division that are developing in this political year. And I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
America Tonight is ashamed. Again, an assassin has struck down a man who wanted only peace and nonviolence. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is dead.
The doctor's now on the scene. Kennedy is lying in a pool of blood.
News as it happened then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.